Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Conversation and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find the Patriot Journalist Network in two ways. One, if you are a Facebook user, just go to the search engine in Facebook and put Patriot Journalist as one word. And you will not only see Bard's Logic Political Talk, you also see PJNet, in which you can also go to www.patriotjournalist.com and join Mark Prasik's Twitter team. It's a pretty fascinating site of networking, so I suggest checking that out or checking out the show. Tell Mark I said hello. And also, I'd like to give a shout-out from the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. And if folks go to the Get Involved page, they can go to where there's a video of the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, which one of the things they do is rescue baby elephants from their when their parents were killed by poachers. And you'll see a little red box that you can just push the button. It says save an elephant on there, and it'll take you to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust website, in which you can find a way to, for only $50 a year, and make a great Christmas gift to foster or join their orphans project of a baby elephant, which is great, really great stuff. So check that out. And just let me know if you've done that just by going to the contact page of the Bard's Logic Political Talk, which you can find a link to the website through the homepage of the Bard's Logic Political Talks on Blog Talk Radio. And tonight, we are going to have real conservative and constitutional conversations on current events. And so without further ado, I will bring in Chris. But real quick, before I bring on Chris, I do see we have a Skype caller. If someone would like to call in, the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. And if you would like to chime in, just press the number one button on your phone dial to let me know that there is something you'd like to chime in on. So without further ado now, I will have Chris. His mic is live. Hello, Chris. Thank you for calling. It's on your mind.
Hey, buddy, what are you doing? What's on my mind?
Oh, good.
Oh, my gosh. I watched that. I watched that, whatever the heck you call it, that online thing with Douglas Weed.
Right.
I get back over. I was gone part of the day. I get back. I'm still trying to get caught up with the news of the day, whether it be the petition where FEMA is having you sign on a federal loss, federal site so they can put a drone over your house and watch you or pick you up later. That thing, that petition thing, I'm having fun with that one. I'm sorry, but you got to be kidding me. I still haven't, I don't think I've had an opportunity to read one Petraeus article. I did find something earlier, but there's just all kinds of, I mean, for a Monday and
I've
fall,
seen some pictures.
It's nuts. Oh, yeah, yeah. but it's crazy today. There's stuff I haven't even, I was trying to get to before the show, and, you know, I'm just making notes on stuff, but there's a great one here that by 2017, we're going to be the largest producer of oil in the world. Didn't everybody just get through telling people the last 4 years that Obama is destroying our energy independence move? Sometimes you just go, excuse me? You know, wasn't that what the Republicans just ran on nonstop? And here it's predicted by 2017 that we will be producing more oil than Saudi. So you don't know what to believe about anything that anybody says, I guess is my so I'm trying to get caught up. So bring on your Skyper and let them chat for a bit, and then hopefully by then I'm caught up with myself.
Well,
if you want.
I just put in two links in the chat, one for the Bars Logic Political Talks website, the Get Involved page, where they can see about the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, and also the PatriotJournalist.com link as well. And so once again, yes, if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your phone button and just let me know that you'd like to have your mic opened. If I don't see that, then we'll be presuming that you just want to listen. But yes, I've seen some, as I mentioned earlier, I've seen some pictures of the Petraeus, I guess, lady he was, you know, having an affair with, I guess. I'll be honest, I haven't read much into it besides
I've seen her
looking
bicep.
At the pictures.
She likes to show off her arms.
No, does she know? Is she military or I don't? I mean, I know nothing
yeah,
about.
Yeah, she's like
you know.
ex. Yeah. I think she was kind of like intel or something. I don't know. I saw something today. I tried to post. I pulled something over to my group, and you know, it's one of those things where you pull it over and you leave the tab up, and then you get busy, and then you finally go, well, one of these days, I'll get to
it. No, understood.
I mean, here's the problem I have with the news of the day. They all lie. And you really don't get the facts for about 7 to 10 days. And then after it's no longer the hot topic of the day, you know, to make the left hate the right or the right hate the left, you know, mm-hmm. then it calms down. And then the real facts start coming out, and it's usually different than anything you say. That's why I don't get caught up in the news of the day, because if you give it some time, let all the crap filter, you know,
right.
then you can do some reading to get caught up. You know, I swear this is what people, they live for a daily fix of negative insanity and lies every day of the week. I don't get it. I'm sorry, but I don't relate to that mindset. You know, call me crazy, but you know, I like truth. Sorry.
Well, I stopped watching the local news, you know, a long time ago, because it's, unless it's sports, local sports, or you know, weather.
Well, the internet is the worst.
Tell
you can pull data off the internet and pass it around groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'll see the same thing, you know, cycle 15, 20 times in a day. Everybody thinking that they're posting the newest thing, you know, and it just becomes this repetitive motion thing.
Well, in with local news, I'm sure folks who watch their own, you know, local news in their cities, it just seems like it's all, you know, most for the most part, bad news. Well, someone got shot here, someone got shot there. And frankly, I'm like, you know, if it doesn't, it might sound callous, but if it doesn't affect me in a way or the society, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, that, you know, people are out there, you know, having accidents and robberies and stuff like that. But go ahead.
Now, well, I was just going to ask if your chat was open. It just finally,
yes,
opened up.
You were just able to get in there. Okay. Well, well, for those who are listening via the Bars Logic Blog Talk website or other means or through Blog Talk Radio, it sounds like if you're having any kind of difficulty getting into the chat, Chris, just.
I'm sorry. No. Holly Solomon blames husband for Obama's reelection and rams him with her car.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. People are nuts.
Well, actually, I was speaking with Kelly Mordecai. Of course, you know, regular listeners are very familiar with him. He's been a panelist on here a number of times and, of course, wrote the book The Hidden Fourth Branch. About the grand jury, I recommended folks checking that out. There's also a website, www.thehiddenfourthbranch, and that's with the number four. Or you can just Google it, and I'm sure you could find it. And also, I did an interview with him a long time ago when the show first started, and interviewed him about his book where he talked about, and that could be found in the archives here on Blog Talk Radio's, so, you know, for Bart's Logs, but it'll talk on Blog Talk Radio. So, but he was talking today about doing some research.
Sorry.
You know, no, I don't see Randy anywhere.
Is that him on Skype?
You know what? Maybe, maybe not. But whoever is listening on Skype decides so far that they just want to listen because I don't see a little.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, a little blip that says they want to be chime in. So until then, you know, you'll want to respect their wishes to just listen. So, no, he's talking about in Cuyahoga. I hope he'd have a chance to get in and call him to the show, but I don't know if he'll have the time to do it tonight. But he was. We talked briefly about some things going here in Cuyahoga County, Ohio, and he was talking about some of the votes we're getting back in, like. And the county was like 99, and don't quote me because this is just from memory and I could be wrong. That's why I hope he comes in to tell us more about it, is something like 99% of the county or something like that voted for Obama. I mean, just such a high percentage that it's unbelievable that it couldn't have been, you know, some kind of possible evidence of some kind of, you know, voting machine, how could I put it, error. Glitch. Of course, I said those tongue in cheek, but hopefully he'll be able to come in and tell us more about that here in Cuyahoga, Ohio.
Say that fast three times.
Cuyahoga, Ohio. Cuyahoga. No, thank you. No, thank you. Okay, so I've been kind of on a little sabbatical for the past couple of days, kind of. Hibernating, so to speak, on Saturday, try to get caught up on some things. And yesterday, as folks know, was my one-year wedding anniversary, so I had to disappear for a day. I haven't even had the computer on for 2 days for the last couple of days, so I'm a little bit out of the loop. So I've done a little bit of research today to look at some things, and as I said, I talked to Kelly about, you know, what's going on in Cuyahoga, and we'll see more on that about the voting. So, you know, some possibilities of chicanery, perhaps. I don't know. We'll see what he's got to say.
Are you waiting for me to say something?
Oh, I'm just opening it. You know, I'm just opening up. I don't know if you're still, you know, working
you
on something, and I'm chatting.
Cuyahoga. Cuyahoga, so
Cuyahoga County, Ohio. Yeah.
I'm just trying to catch up by looking at the passions of people. You have heard that video. Did you watch the video I posted it.
I haven't had a chance to hear it.
Great. What a classy person.
You're being facetious. I know that's what I've heard of the video.
Yeah, you bet. Anyway, somebody posted, Kim Lugnut posted, Congressman Alan West will be on Hannity tonight at 9 p.m. And I'm being in my normal flippant humorous mode, and I go, for what, to cry? I mean, there's so much crap going on, you know, everybody this, everybody that. Okay, so in terms of focusing, I listened to the Doug Weed. And a lot of people don't know who Doug Weed is. Doug Weed was one of the senior campaign advisors for the Ron Paul campaign. Okay, now, before anybody who doesn't know who Doug Weed is, look him up. This guy has been on 6 presidential campaigns. He's had presidents, you know, sitting in his front room. You know, he's a friend of many, 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 many people. He also is a historian like Newt. And I've listened to his talks. I've listened to him speak about the Liberty Movement, and I've heard him speak about what he saw at the RNC convention. He's very level-headed, very mature, very intelligent, and I enjoy the guy. You know, forget, you know, I mean, I listened to him before as who he was as a person before I ever listened to him because he was a Ron Paul, you know, campaign person, all right? So, no, he's a great guy, and there's a lot out there on him, but you can, you know, look up his history. Interesting guy, very, very, a lot of wisdom, a lot of historical wisdom. So, anyway, he was in on a program. I had some guests stop by, so it was a little bit, it was hard to focus. I kind of had one speaker on my ear while I was trying to interact with people, and that's kind of hard to focus like that, but, you know, people were talking about the campaign for liberty. A lot of people, you know, think Ron Paul's gone. Ron Paul ain't gone nowhere. He is still the president of the campaign for liberty, and he has spoken. I don't know what his full schedule is, but he's been going nonstop since the election or since the primary. You know, he's out there speaking at universities and colleges and continuing with his message and all that kind of stuff. And you know, he didn't crawl in a hole. It's never been about Ron Paul. That's what people don't understand. Somebody posted something on earlier. I'll finish this input. But anyway, they discussed, you know, what's going on with the campaign for liberty. You know, he gave his input. Obviously, we know that there was a split off. Some people stayed in the party and did a write-in for Ron Paul, and some people, you know, rolled over and voted for Romney. You know, they thought they were Ron Paul supporters, and I guess they weren't really. But some people moved to the Johnson camp. Some people, you know, I think that there's going to be kind of like, you know, when you stir up the mud at the bottom of water, you know, it's just kind of a mess right now. But I think people will start to coalesce. I heard a while back, you know, that thing that, you know, is always out there because a lot of people tried to speculate why Ron Paul didn't run third party, why he didn't do a, you know, register for running as an independent, you know,
all this stuff.
And usually what people are saying is he has a son who's a senator.
He's concerned with
I don't know his political career. Yeah, but I don't know because concern donates or might not be the right word. I think that it's not so much concern as it is a plan. You follow what I'm getting at? You know what I mean? When you're concerned, you're worried. I don't think Ron Paul's worried. I think that when you have a movement that is tripled in size since the last campaign, you're not really worried. Yeah, they got beat by crime and manipulation and voter fraud.
Many believe that that's a big part of what cost Romney to lose.
Oh, huge. Huge part, which makes me wonder, which I've said before, Romney was meant to lose. There's no way in the world you could do something that stupid that you could alienate the youth and the liberty movement in the Republican Party and expect to win.
That's millions
of people, plus the side effect of all of the recorded breaking of rules, breaking of bones, breaking of laws, delegates being unseated.
Teleprompters were already saying, get it. Yeah.
Delegates, high-level delegates on committees, rules committees, being driven around on a bus with armed guards and not allowed to get in and vote. I mean, come on. You think this stuff ain't getting out there? This is 2012. People have cell phones. They have,
right.
They have, all of this stuff.
Some would say cameras
recorded
on their heads, right.
Oh, my God, embed them in your eye. I mean, this is cyborg stuff. But here's the thing. Doug was talking about the power that Rand Paul has. Number one, he's a senator, not a House rep. One senator is a whole lot different than one rep, terms of position and power. And he has the Liberty Movement on his side. Now, a lot of people are upset because Rand Paul endorsed Romney. Well, I heard it. It wasn't an endorsement. It was kind of it was really weird. And I know people freaked out, but I think people will get over it because it wasn't like Rand Paul was out there doing donation drives for him and speaking for him and stumping for him, and trying to convince people to vote for him. He did his little endorsement thing and then went on about his business, which was going back to fighting for liberty, getting the budget cut, getting, the illegal war shut down. He never really changed much besides, a 5-minute clip that people were like, that was an endorsement. So I have a feeling that 2016 is going to be very interesting because you and I both have seen the names, Jindal and Rubio and the Bush dynasty and if you go to Romney's site, you can see people on his site. You need to run again in 2016. We need you. I'm thinking.
Oh my gosh.
I'm thinking you.
Really?
I'm thinking. Are you kidding me?
He lost worse than Mitt Romney lost worse than McCain did.
I know it. Well, not in electors. I think I posted that yesterday. But vote-wise, he's just not unpopular, So anyway, Doug was talking about, the Rand Paul movement. And I know that because I monitor, and I'm on a lot of Ron Paul sites or Paul support sites or whatever, and I kind of keep my eyes on this, and there's some people that, don't like Rand because he endorsed Romney. But I have a feeling that a lot of people, if Rand Paul doesn't do anything stupid in the next 4 years, he could be really dangerous to run against the rhinos because they're gonna prop up a bunch of rhinos again.
Oh, they're already starting. They're already talking about the rise of Rubio or something crazy like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Old Rubio. Ain't he a sweetheart?
No.
Well,
and
I tell you what.
Maybe Nikki Haley would be his running mate.
Yeah.
Two
or that other gal, the other gal, the one that was on Fox, the blonde who was the attorney general of the state that filed against Obamacare. Remember her that got on and was telling everybody that she was going to be on Romney's team to, remember her, Pam?
I'm having a brain freeze there, man.
Was it Bondi? Pam Bondi? Yeah, that sure rings a bell. I don't know, another rhino, she was going to implement Romney's new version. Yeah, she was going to implement Romney's new health care version. I mean, I guess Republicans still think he was going to get rid of Obamacare.
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of people freaking out. Not freaking out, that's not the wrong term to use. No, but I'm talking about with Obamacare in January. I've heard of places saying they're just not going to hire any full time, grocery stores, things of that nature. Well, they're just not going to hire any full time folks. And anyone who's part time now is not going to be able to get full time because they don't want to have to pay for the insurance.
Well, don't we already do that in this country? Come on, we already do that in this country. Companies have been doing this stuff for years, finding ways to get out of the, plus states, if they pull their heads out of their rear ends And instead of signing the FEMA website, so the drones have your address.
That was fascinating. tell more about that, because that was interesting.
Oh, anyway, but let me finish.
Go ahead.
You know, the states can nullify that stupid thing. I mean, if Boehner, it's a law of the land.
They could be funded
right there,
too, right?
Fire him. The law of the land. Oh, come on. What is wrong with these Republicans? Oh, they're not real Republicans. That's the problem. Maybe that's why Romney didn't get elected. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
God. Wow. You know, I hope people wake up. I don't know. I watched the masses roll over for Obama in 2008, and I thought people are stupid. And now our side, I'm like, I'm moving to Costa Rica, man. Oh, my God. Anyway, so what are we talking about now?
Is it not where the dinosaurs are? No. The Jurassic Park, Costa Rica.
Baby elephants.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
No, that's the baby elephants. That's in Kenya, man. Don't be eating any baby elephants, Trot. No.
So anyway, I have a feeling I got my eye on this Rand Paul thing. We're going to see what's going to happen, you know, with the Liberty Movement. But it's not going to stop. If anything, they're mad. The heels are dug in, and they're PO'd at what was done to them. And it isn't. A lot of people don't understand.
For two election
this
cycle.
Happened the last election.
That's what I'm saying.
Too. You know, 2008 and 2012 are just people should be in prison for what they did.
Well, and they turned around. I mean, some of them did turn around and voted for McCain, but I think they're like, not this year. We're not doing it.
Fool
me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I add on to that. Shame me a third time, I'm just a dumbass. You know, so they were going to do it again. I mean,
yeah, we live in some pretty wild times, don't we? You know, Billy Crystal was on Fox saying, you know, and they were talking about the Rand Paul thing. I watched a clip right before I called in. That's why I was a little bit, you know, a little tardy there. And he was saying, this thing ain't giving up. This Liberty movement's not over. And he said, these people are mad. They're upset. You got Rand Paul in there. He goes, if Republicans don't pay attention to this, you know, he said, I don't agree necessarily with the Liberty, you know, the Ron Paul message, you know, these neocons that think we need to be at constant war with the world because the world's going to get us if we're not at war with them. Interesting theory. But, he was saying this is real stuff and don't kid yourself. He said this guy could be could win the nomination in 2016. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I know one thing for sure, we don't get rid of Priebus and Boehner and that group that was attached to the crime and coercion, you know, we're in trouble because Boehner's done nothing to stop Obama, you know, in the last 2 years, nothing. And now he's already talking about defeat, tax increases. They funded Obamacare. You know, you got another debt ceiling conversation coming up here in January.
Then they want to take people's attention away from, you know, the important stuff like that with, Petraeus was having an affair with some, you know.
I heard they knew about that a long time ago. You know, that's just stuff I'm seeing leaking.
Well, yeah, they're probably trying to just use that, as I said, you know, just to cover up, you know, the more important stuff. You know, and plus now they're saying, it could have been, aren't they trying to somehow link that to the whole Benghazi situation? Like, maybe there's some kind of...
He's the head of the CIA. You know, they're claiming that the CIA, they had asked for extra support, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're finding out, you know, arms deals, all this crap. You know, typical government. You know, like everybody's surprised. I mean, you know, I don't know. Has anybody ever gone back and looked at the Iran-Contra controversy in the Reagan era? Hold on.
Well, I'm sure someone has. You know, I haven't done, you know, research on it, but I'm sure someone's done it. either said hold off or he dropped off, or I'm not sure.
Oh, no, my son came up and tried. He, it looks like he's been researching it more than I have, but he said that.
All about Petraeus, the Iran-Contra? All because,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, he said that he had been doing his own investigation over there, and he was going to testify. I remember hearing something to that effect, and he said now that this has happened and he's resigned, he's not going to testify. So that's I guess is where everybody's freaking out, is the unknown, you know. Because if anybody would know, the head of the CIA, because you know they were doing stuff. I mean, come on. I mean, I posted stuff weeks ago that, you know, we had boots on the ground in Turkey and we were moving, and everybody knows we were moving arms in there. I mean, everybody acts like this is, you know, some, they're surprised. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're giving arms to the rebels? Yeah. Didn't we just do this in Libya? Hello.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website you talked about earlier about the White House. .gov or what have you, with the peacefully draft the state of Louisiana to withdraw from the United States of America and create its new government.
Be sure to fill out that petition.
Yeah.
Sure. Club FEMA is, I've got a room for you. Go ahead.
Club FEMA. That's hilarious, Chris.
Sorry. Oh, I've been having fun with this. First of all, I've done the research. I've listened to Napolitano talk about, you know, seceding. When they were having a conversation about Texas, Napolitano had a talk, and somebody even asked Ron Paul about, you know, is this possible? Because Ron Paul was a Texas congressman and stuff like that, and there are provisions for it. But I don't know. It's just so bizarre. When this, I mean, it came up, I saw it a couple of days ago, and I didn't even, you know, I looked at it and went, oh, yeah, that's really cool. That's a federal website. Be sure to make sure they get your address spelled right. You know, you don't secede from the union by a citizen petition to the federal government. It's your state, you know, and everybody's pushing this around like 20 states are going to secede from the union. No, they're not states. It's a citizen petition. It's not states petitioning anything. You know, there's a lot of
bringing it back real quick while I'm looking at it, bringing it back to Petraeus. Looks like Ben Swan, and thank you, Rex, from the Tex and Rex Show, sharing this. As it says, Ben Swan, which actually it sounds like they've been having some problems posting some of the reality checks, because Ben Swan had a post earlier. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Ben Swan posted somewhere about having some. He's like, but now that it says, this is Ben Swan, about an hour ago, it says, I want to again apologize for all the problems with viewing reality check videos. Now that the election is over, I have been assured that we are going to be getting reality check posted on Fox 19 YouTube page. Interesting. I'd like to hear more about that.
I'm sorry. What did you just say?
Ben Swan posted this on Facebook about an hour ago. Says, I want to again apologize for all the problems with viewing reality check videos. Now that the election is over, I have been assured that we are going to be getting RC, which of course is short for reality post, reality check, posted on at Fox 19 YouTube page. So it sounds like they were having some problems towards the end of the election. I'll have to check that out. I'll have to check that out more. So we'll see. But anyway, bring it to the Petraeus. It looks like they're going to have a reality check tomorrow night on it, so perhaps we can get that piped in. It says, reality check tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Looking at the Petraeus resignation scandal. Nothing more than a sex scandal, right? Then why are of nearly a dozen FBI agents at the home of Paula Broadwell, the woman the Associated Press has reported at the center of General David Petraeus' extramarital affair. We are going to look at all the pieces of the story that just don't make sense. So that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah,
and I'd love to have that guy on. If anybody, if anyone goes to the Fox 19 channel and finds Ben Swan's email address, I have it somewhere. I should post it in the chat to email him and try to get him onto the show. I think that'd be great. He's a difficult folk to get a hold of. That's for certain. Of course, I know he's got some concerns since he's already in the media about coming on to shows. But I mean, it'd be great to.
Oh, my gosh. There's a guy who actually, you remember the R, the double R, the red, the blue, the Romney Ryan R?
Right, right.
At the front of there, a guy had that tattooed on his face.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I tell you what, those people just went crazy this election season. It's unbelievable. Just all, you know, and that's one of the things that kind of bewilders me is all the money that was spent, Chris. All the time, all the effort.
$6 billion on this. Well, and
The most important election of our lifetime, and when it's all said and done and the smoke starts to clear, we're in the exact same, pretty much the exact same spot we were 4 years ago. Unbelievable how much waste, you know, for nothing. Unbelievable. I mean, if Romney got in, it wouldn't have been, you know, different policy-wise. But I'm just saying that after all that, nothing has changed. Senate still has, the Democrats still have the Senate. Republicans still have the House. And it's going to be 4 more years of what we just got through with. Unless something happens in 2014 could be very important.
It's going to be four years of Obama doing whatever he wants because Boehner has already conceded that Obamacare is the law of the land, that the Republicans just funded it. That Republicans just, you know, how many of them voted for NDAA, that they've given him everything he wanted the last 2 years, and while they act like they're doing nothing. And they're already discussing, you know, tax increases. The Republican Party is going to destroy itself. And I'm not saying that. I guess the confusion is just like this thing with this that little quick thing I read about the fact that we're going to be the leading producer of oil in the world by 2017. You know, it's like all we've heard for 4 years is how Obama's shutting everything down. Well, and I remember in the debate, you know, because everybody was going hog wild over this because, you know, we heard day in and day out that he wasn't giving out permits and he was pulling permits. And you know, and then I did some research on that. And there's a lot of these oil companies sitting on permits doing nothing with them. Well, Sarah Palin had the same problem in Alaska. You know, she went in and she pulled their permits, ended up in a lawsuit to get back control of those permits because the oil companies refused to frickin' drill. You know, I mean, there's so much lies.
Because then it would kept the oil prices higher.
Yeah, she got the gas line finally got it approved. It had been set on by a bunch of crooked politicians and the drilling companies, because you know all that, you know, we've got that gas line produced out of Alaska now. They had oil up there in legal, you know, in permits, and they weren't doing anything with them. She had to go through a legal battle to get these guys to let go of the permits, because as soon as she said use the permits or I'm giving them to somebody else, there came a lawsuit. These oil companies, we never know the truth, and I'm not you know getting on Obama's side, period. But I'm saying, tell the truth from our side. You know what I mean? Don't lie to make a point. And that's all the right has been doing for the last 2 years. Now, the first 2 years, we have no excuse because Obama controlled the House and the Senate, you know, while the Republicans, you know, laid there and wet on themselves. And then the Tea Party comes in and gives them control. They have done nothing. And that's the part. Until Republicans or the right or conservatives or whatever the hell you want to call these people, until they quit lying to themselves about the abuses of the Constitution overspending of the Bush era, the Unconstitutional Patriot Act, all the War Power Acts that Bush put in, Homeland Security, TSA, all this, FEMA, all this stuff. He empowered, he handed Obama the power that Obama is abusing. That system was put in place by George W. Bush and his administration. You know, it was a Republican, so it was okay when it was Bush to do it, but it's not okay for Obama to do it. These people are just arguing. They're the same people. They're just arguing about who has the power. You know, because basically the Republicans, what Bush did and what Obama's done, it's the same thing. It's the same extension of the same wars. It's the same free trade. What a bunch of crap. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Giving away our power, you know, an imbalance in trade, an imbalance in tariffs that hurts our manufacturing and our exports. You know, I mean, everything that Obama's done is exactly an extension of what Bush did. So what the hell are people complaining about? Oh, that's right. It's because there's a Democrat in power. If it was Romney in power doing it, it would be okay.
And but people would be relaxing more, so I'm sure if
Romney
was in there. Well, they should. Well, no, they shouldn't be, especially with, you know, Obamacare still hanging, you know. And, of course, if Romney got in, he would probably just replace it with Romneycare. So, I mean, that's a definitely concern, and I think there's a lot of validity to that concern, that something's going to have to be done with the Obamacare thing, you know. And as I said, regardless whether it's been Obamacare or Romneycare, same thing. You know, but something's going to have to be done, you know, done about it.
The Republicans can control the majority of states, you know, hard control. They can refuse to implement it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But like
there was a few states that actually said they were going to do it.
But here's the problem. This goes back to our conversation we've had nonstop now on every show. States have the power to set this country right. They don't do what they're supposed to do. And that's the problem.
And that's one of the things that we need to talk about for one of our topics. But that's one of the things we need to talk about somewhat about the future topics we're going to have here on the show. Like one of the things we've been wanting to do for a while, but of course with the election that kind of kept us, is the, you know, to talk about state sovereignty, yeah.
Well, we seem to talk about a little bit of it every time we talk.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Because
it's never dedicated.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No. Well, yeah, that's what I was saying is, well, I'm sorry. I was reading somebody's chat to me. Somebody sent me a private message. I was saying that kind of pushed me off topic there for a second. But we're talking about state sovereignty, you know, holding a whole series, maybe starting off with something like, you know, State Sovereignty 101 or something like that, you know, among other topics that you and I and others have talked about having on the show.
I totally agree. I think it's great. Just getting everybody, you know, we've got the resources. Holy smokes. We got Randy. We got the people in the Constitution Party that we interviewed that, we kind of dropped the hint. Several of those guys, you know,
mm-hmm.
about coming back on a state's, you know, on a state's sovereignty discussion. I know several of them said, yeah, count me in, you know.
Right.
I mean, we've kind of done it in a way, not as the title of the show, but
right.
Every time we interviewed
it. Right.
Yeah, every time we interviewed a Constitution Party person, we were talking state sovereignty. You know, you got Kelly, you got Randy, you got all these people. We could not even miss a beat. Just turn around, and start over. Just make sure that we stay focused. You know, because it's such a huge discussion because it's the whole history of our country and prehistory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what led to how they formed our country. You know. And built the original constitutions. I think it's a great discussion.
Speaking of the Constitution and the Constitution Party, I know in about 2 weeks, probably somewhere around there, we're looking to have Virgil Goode come back on because he's going to get some numbers and things together about how his campaign did and among the states. And so it's going to take some time for all those numbers to come in.
Yeah.
So. I talked to him,
sure.
prior to the election, and he said about giving him a call and getting these numbers, and I think that'd be something fascinating to see.
So did we cover the FEMA petition enough?
No. I've kind of hinted around about it. You're talking about briefly. So, yeah, if you want to get in depth on that, go ahead.
I don't know how to get in depth on it. I've been just watching it chuckling,
Well, I mean, at least what your thoughts are on it. Give the folks a little description of what you're talking about, because we're kind of talking in a vacuum for them.
I don't know. Well, you know, it keeps cycling. You know, it's one of those things that people get their emotion wrapped around it, and it keeps coming around and around and around and around, and people have responded to it. Some people have. My first question is, why are people posting it as if 20 states or whatever it was when I first saw it, it was 6 or 7, you know, 8 states are petitioning to, you know, leave the union. And I'm like going, you know, and I'm going, this isn't a state petition. This is citizens. And I remember following through with it going, oh, well, what are they signing here? And I like look at the URL and I'm going, oh, great.
It's a government website.
A federal website. Boy, this is a
right.
Good one.
PresidentWhiteHouse.com.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, Obama, here's your next list.
Yeah, fire the drones up.
He likes them lists.
but hey, I'm looking at the switchboard here, and I believe we have one of the hosts from the Tex and Rex show, which folks can hear on Sunday evenings from 10 p.m. until midnight, and that is Eastern Time. And without further ado, I will be opening up Rex's mic. Welcome, Rex. Thank you for coming. What's on your mind?
Hey, Robert. Congratulations, and glad you took a night off. You deserve
thank you.
It.
Yes, you were glad, too.
Yeah, I bet. I think it's actually... There's petitions from 27 states to secede.
Is it up to that now?
Yeah, from the union. This is just a sentiment of anger at the expansion of federal government and the fact that the illegitimate socialists seceded on the throne once again. But, I mean, I don't know that it has much traction. I know Ben Swan's putting together a reality check on it. But, you know, for anybody who's even remotely entertaining it, you know, I'm from the Commonwealth of Virginia. We've done it before. But like General Lee said, you know, I'm for the Union, but I'm for my home first. So reserve your secessionist powers until it's absolutely necessary. I got a great idea. How about we try nullification first? Maybe we go that route, see if that works. Doesn't that make a little bit more sense? I mean, you know, secession is the ultimate recourse to pulling out of a tyrannical government, but it does carry significant dangers because then you're talking about, you know, small localized communities that might be susceptible to takeover by larger foreign interests. So it's good that we stick together, but we just have to nullify the extra constitutional bullshit coming from the federal government. So let's put our energies in nullification and in changing ballot access and in changing the way we vote and the way we count the votes, instead of trying to dissolve the Federation. Little sense, please. Let's not be as shrill as that woman that had posted that 20-minute YouTube tirade against the Gary Johnson, Ron Paul effing this. I mean, you people cost us the election. I mean, let's just calm down a little bit. Let the other side get angry. We don't need to get angry. Let's keep our wits about us. We have the power. Let's just stay together. Let's get more organized. Let's be effective. Let's not try to destroy the country, okay?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, chaos and anarchy.
Well, maybe that's, you know what, maybe that's someone's planted this idea to take advantage of people's feelings to kind of, you know, screw some things. Remember something, that the War for Southern Independence was fostered by the European powers because they didn't want a united America industrializing and rising to challenge them. So, you know, sometimes the oligarchs will throw an extreme plan on the other side just to keep us off balance. I think it's... you know, take those emotional energies and channel them to something productive. You know, like you said, listen to Doug Weed, take a look at Robbie Wells. We've got plenty of options for 2014 and 2016. The most important thing is ballot access, voting rules. Let's start, you know, write in ballots with paper and pen and count them publicly. And, you know, let's nullify Obamacare and nullify NDAA and nullify all this garbage, and let's make a big push to end the Federal Reserve. I mean, generally speaking, presidents that do it don't fare too well. Andrew Jackson survived. He had two assassination attempts on his life. Kennedy, well, we know what happened. And Lincoln, we know what happened. So, you know, Obama's clearly not in any danger. Yeah, and Reagan. So, you know, clearly Obama's not in any danger, since, you know, he likes Ben Bernanke and he likes the Federal Reserve. But who cares what Obama thinks? Let's just end it.
Amen. Well, I kind of worry about Rand Paul. You know, he's got the only, you know, he's got that strong liberty voice, you know, in the Fed.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about, and yeah, now they're just talking about auditing it.
What?
Well, remember the switch from ending the Fed to just auditing the Fed?
Well, I don't think it's a switch. It's a step. It's a step towards that path.
Yeah. Because if you audit it and you show people what's there, then the end of Fed is a very easy conversation.
Look, most people don't know how bad it is.
There you go.
Look, the Federal Reserve affects everything that you do, and you have no idea how it does it. So it's so invisible that for most people it's like, why are these, you know, Ron Paulers talking about this? Why are people talking about ending the Fed? This is crazy. What's the big deal? You know, we got bigger problems to worry about.
Is it the Fed there to protect our money?
Right. People, you know, so you don't know how it works. So auditing it will actually expose how it works, and then you'll see a massive popular uprising against this thing. And in the meantime, let people know. I mean, it's not confusing. You know, it's a very simple argument. You don't have to get into the details if you don't want to. You just simply tell people, one, it's not federal. Two, it has no reserves.
There's no reserve.
Three, it's a private banking cartel that has monopoly control of our money. And since everything in our society is measured in units of money, that means it has control of everything. Now, should a private group of invisible, hidden people that we don't know, most of them are not even loyal to our country, have that kind of power? Any rational person will tell you, hell no. Well, then there you go. End the Fed. Very
simple. Pretty amazing how few people know that basic slew of statements you just made.
Yeah. I mean, we sometimes take it for granted because we talked about it so much on various shows and you know, studying the revolution. And, you know, I mean, I've been reading Ron Paul stuff for two decades, so it's kind of old hat. But most people don't know. Just like, look, at least 70% of the people who foolishly voted for Romney did it thinking he was a conservative, then he was going to save them from Obama. I can certainly be a little angry at those who knew damn well who Romney was and voted for him anyway, and you know, we'll get over that and we'll move on now. But most people didn't know, and you've got to tell yourself, well, whose fault is that? Well, obviously, if you're ignorant, it's your fault. I mean, you had no reason to be ignorant in this country, in this day and age, with the internet and everything else. But it's more our fault, okay? It's more our fault because we didn't tell them. So your job in the next 2 years is to get off your ass and tell them, because if you can get those 90 million who don't participate to participate, and if you can get at least 30% of those who do participate to get their heads out of the nether regions, the oligarchy is over. So that's your job.
Even just the 11 million that didn't want to vote for either one of them. Right. I mean, if they would have known, if they would have had the information of, you know, whether it be Paul Reitin or Goode or Johnson or whatever their flavor was, you know, watermelon green with red on the inside, Stein or Rocky, you know, the Mr. Justice himself who wants to administer FDR justice, you know. I mean, it's just my, you know, I mean, 11 million people, you know. I remember when we first started talking about third parties as a research project. It was amazing. Remember when we were talking on the phones and behind the scenes going, we're getting booted everywhere. We're getting censored.
Oh, my gosh,
I was like,
I mean, it kind of caught me off guard.
It caught me off guard. I'm thinking, wow, this is the most vicious strategic thing I've ever seen so far, because we had a pretty much open battleground through the whole primary. You know, you were on multiple sites, and the battles were on, and the arguments and the vetting, and then all of a sudden it just went slam. And I thought, wow.
Yeah, like door was shut,
Yeah, I'm like, wow, they are scared to death of this conversation. I said a long time ago, I don't think they're worried about anybody winning. I think what they're worried about, I think they would have rather have 11 million people not vote than 11 million people register with a third party.
Oh, yeah.
No, same result.
Suppressing turnout is their game. Look, the fewer of us
that
participate,
number.
The better it is for them because it's easier to manage a small number in a duopoly.
Yep.
If voter turnout increases, people will actually start paying attention, and you know, your whole image falls apart. So, you know, this is what they do. I mean, look, think about it. In the most important election of our lifetime, in the great battle between free markets and socialism, and between Obama's Marxism and Republican conservatism, he got 13% less people, which means, you know, 13% of the morons that voted for him in 2008 did not vote for him in 2012. I mean, you know, ostensibly that's a victory. That means 13% of the fools that fell for his hope and change crap in 2008 realized that it doesn't work by 2012. That's a pretty big number. Well, if you lose 13% of your vote in your reelection, you should be the easiest guy in the universe to defeat. And only Romney could snatch defeat from the jaws of victory like that. Which tells you that the only name of the game, and we saw it in the primaries for guys like Romney and Pubis and their, you know, Rove and their entire infiltration strategy of neocons and liberals in the Republican Party, is suppress the turnout, silence the voice of conservatism, and just make a carbon copy of the Democrat Party with some different rhetorical stances in their platform, which no one pays attention to anyway. And this is what happens when you do that. So if anybody should be upset at, you know, what's going on, lay blame where it belongs. Romney screwed you. So blame Romney. And don't run another Romney. Romney, McCain, Dole, Bush, Ford. Stop it. Just stop it.
Well, and they're already – yeah, but see, here's the challenge. You know, that was one of the things that I – and I'm sure you guys were monitoring too, was I wanted to hear – their reaction to his loss, you know, from the Fox, from Crystal, from Rove, from, you know what I mean, anybody. I mean, actually, Ted Thompson wrote an interesting article. Did you read that one?
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, he didn't take a real position, but he definitely put the ideas out there that people were feeling. You know, he said, I don't necessarily feel this way, but I believe people do. And that was towards the end of the bottom of the article. And I'm going, yeah, millions of people feel that way, that he destroyed and broke trust and spent a lot of money to do it, broke rules, broke laws, and by the time he got through with the convention, there was a lot of people that were so disgusted that 4 more years of Obama was actually starting to look better than what we were experiencing. I was scared to death this guy having power. Not scared. You know what I mean?
And I definitely heard that phrase I believe it was yesterday where someone saying, you know, a lot of people are just voting for the devil they knew than the devil they didn't know.
Yeah, well, that Thompson article covered all those points. It was great.
No, I mean, look, the interesting thing is that we knew what Romney was going to accomplish in November back at the end of August. And we tried to tell them, and no one listened, okay? You know, there were 3 million people, obviously, who listened. The rest of them didn't listen. Well, look, it happened exactly like we told you. And we told you that, you know, the GOP committed suicide on August 28th, and it did. The GOP is dead. As it is right now, it's over. There's only one of two things that's going to happen. Either one, they're going to keep losing membership, they're going to keep losing votes, and they're going to keep losing elections because they remain, fake conservatives. Or the Liberty Movement is going to take over, and they're going to become a really conservative party, and there will be no room for the, you know, khaki pant, constipated looking, you know, Northeast country club, you know, tight assed, not conservative Republicans. They'll have to go to the Democrat Party or start their, you know, own decrepit club. But that's the two things that are going to happen. So the GOP, as we knew it, is over, and it's either going to disappear or it's going to become a real conservative party, and not conservative the way most of us think of conservatism, which is mildly constitutionalist with a neocon foreign policy. It'll actually become a Ron Paul constitutionalist conservative party. And people like Goldwater, Reagan, and Gingrich will be just as home there. But people like Hubis and Sununu and Romney and Dole and McCain won't.
Did you get a chance to listen to Doug Weed talk about this?
Briefly.
Yeah, he was talking about that. He was talking about, he wasn't saying this is what's going to happen, but he was definitely defining, you know, that movement in Rand Paul and what is possible with him. It's going to be interesting to watch because, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, watching the Liberty Movement kind of split and fracture, you know, and kind of go hog crazy going into the election, and then a lot of people going over and voting for Johnson, et cetera, you know, that whole battle. I'm sure you've seen it too, and we've talked about it. But, you know, I have a feeling that as people calm down, that you're going to see that that power increase towards Rand in 2016.
Maybe. I mean, look, I think Rand's a fine guy. He's certainly, you know, one of the better senators. But I think that if you're going to have a real liberty movement, you know, you need to get off this cult of personality. Yes, we need people to fill the offices. But I've said this for a long time, and it's absolutely true. Elected representatives will go look for the voters. We don't have to go look for the representatives. What we need to do is be active voters, know what we're voting for, know what we'll accept, know what we won't accept, organize, mm-hmm. get together, have an effective game. If you have a movement of a significant portion of voters who are ready to get this done, then the leadership will come looking for us. And mm-hmm. that's what it takes. So, you know, if people are talking about, oh, Gary's going to run in 2016, well, I'm going to be behind Rand Paul. You know, you're playing the same game of, you know, let's find a personality. Don't find the personality. Get organized on the ground for the Constitution, for nullification, for state sovereignty, for repeal of the extra-constitutional laws, and the candidates will find you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what you're seeing already happen. I mean, even like Robbie Wells, you know, he announced his candidacy, you know, run, his intent to run last week, mm-hmm. you know, coming right out. I mean, he jumped up and said, I'm game. And I think that people, you're seeing that, for me, the way I think is observing these things. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. You know, vet them until I watch them, because time always exposes everything. You know, if you got your eye on people, I don't get all fired up over personalities personally, but it's watching the movement and how people are going to, you know, organize towards those things. And so it's going to be interesting to watch, because you've got the I don't want to call them conservatives, but you've got the Republicans all, you know, dangling their potential candidates, you know, and I think that they hang it out there for people to hear it and respond to it. They're always feeling the mm-hmm. water, you know, and I think if you're going to have the Liberty Movement people, I think you're going to have, you know, those who attract to the Ron Paul dynamics or Rand Paul dynamics. You're going to have people like Robbie Wells. You're going to have like the Libertarian Party with Johnson. I think that, I don't know, who knows what's going to happen to the Libertarian Party, because he took some strong stances on some things that really defined a direction now that the party is kind of locked in behind those stances. So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with that. You know, because they turned off a lot of libertarians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I think, look, the response to the candidates the GOP is floating, it probably rhymes with the Chuck Shoe, okay, because I mean, another Bush, Rubio, I mean, really? Come on.
Right.
If this didn't teach you anything, it's you can't make it. And if you're going to buy into this Alinsky argument that, well, the GOP can't get voters because they don't attract women and Latinos and minorities, well, no, you can't win, because you can't attract people who love their country and love the Constitution, because you could care a rip about those two things. So you need to find candidates who genuinely stand for those things, not say they do. I mean, you can see it in the narrative. They're saying, you know, in the analysis now, it's like, should Romney have become more moderate after the Tea Party pulled him to the right? What?
Yes.
What are you talking about? Should he have been more this?
I know.
Should he have been more that? What do you mean, should he mm-hmm. have been what? The candidate is who they are. They stand for what they stand for. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear, you moron. Tell me what you're actually going to do. Look, the reason Gingrich was so powerful and popular, and yes, I know they've maligned him, but in reality, he was powerful and he was popular because he said, hey, look, this is where the country's going. It's screwed up. These are the 10 things we're going to do. Get us in there and we'll do them. We got him in there and they did those 10 things, okay? That's why Gingrich was so powerful. That's why they
and
had
Romney
to shut him up.
That.
Exactly. So, you know, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for someone
you know
who's going to say what they're going to do and then do it.
Yeah, and the other thing that made you're talking about the contract with America because he attempted to re-engage that concept. Gingrich had many decades to really get the feel of the land. Unfortunately, his message got destroyed this time.
Mm-hmm.
But when he did the contract with America, it wasn't, you know, Gingrich had more than 10 ideas in his head. But what he did was he got a feeling for the people. In other words, what would the people back? You know, he is an extremely smart strategist.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something else he did that a lot of people don't understand is that decades before they made that run to regain control, they started a whole grassroots movement at local levels, building young Republican leaders, you know, and getting people elected at local and state levels and things like that. They built that movement for, what, a couple decades? I'd have to go back and re-research, you know, the whole movement, but it was a big plan. It wasn't just something they did like, okay, it wasn't a reaction like this is a reaction that we're seeing right now. Gingrich had this thing planned for decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he was working on it since he got into the Congress.
Yeah.
And they told him he was crazy.
He was the liberty movement that we criticize in Ron Paul, except he was more strategic, broader in spec, you know what I mean? He, you know, Ron Paul's a really good, you know, 2 or 3 issue guy. You know, Newt can handle 30 ideas at the same time.
Well, I mean, I think you can say Ron Paul's a 3-issue guy or whatever just because Ron Paul's really only got one issue, and it's the Constitution. Very simple. And also keep in mind that when Gingrich was doing what he was doing, you know, you're talking about the late 70s and through the 80s and up to the 90s. For the most part, it was the Cold War. There were no hot wars. We were, you know, kind of out of Vietnam other than New World Order Bush's foray into, you know, to liberate the massive kingdom of Kuwait.
Right.
You know, we weren't engaged in really hot wars. So it was a different paradigm. Now, I mean, you know, you've got multiple fronts in hot wars ongoing perpetually. It's a very different paradigm.
Yeah. Well, we had the South America stuff going on, but we didn't have the information on it like we do in the Middle East. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I just think that what made Newt successful was he got the bigger picture and he was able to read the American people and build on that. So when he hit the ground, when he hit the office, he was ready to go on the American people. He had the will of the people, you know, with the contract with America and what points they were going into address.
Well, I know back in 2008, you know, I wanted Newt Gingrich to run, but then I thought he wisely decided not to because it was kind of a perfect storm against, you know, the Republicans. You know, in 2008. Yeah, it was a perfect storm against the Republicans 2008. But now I'm starting to rethink that. Well, maybe it would have been good for Newt Gingrich to have run in 2008, not for the very fact about he could have been able to win, but at least he could have set up an organization to run, you know, for 2012. And I think he would have been better equipped to handle the onslaught from Romney and the media than he was able to, you know, this year because he did not run in 2008.
Well, I think that Newt
I'm rethinking that.
I don't know. I think Newt was after they pushed him out, was reluctant to run for anything. I think that he wanted to be the voice of traditional conservatism without the you know, cumbersome duties of office because he knew that the Republicans were just not going along with conservative ideas and he thought he'd have a more effective voice outside. I think he was compelled to run this time because of exactly what they did in 08 with McCain and what they did to Palin and what they did,
mm-hmm.
what he saw. You know, I think that Newt, I mean, let's face it, Newt was early in the Tea Party. I mean, he was Tea Party before it was cool to be Tea Party and before all the Republicans jumped on it. And I think he saw that as definitely the way to go. And then when the Tea Party was appropriated, he thought, okay, well, clearly that didn't work out the way I anticipated. I'm going to have to get back in here. And he did. I don't think he anticipated the onslaught that was going to come at him, which he really should have, because frankly, what we saw this year happen to Ron Paul is exactly what they did to Ron Paul in 08, but the Liberty mm-hmm. Movement wasn't as well organized in 08, so we didn't hear about it.
Right.
I don't
but
think...
But I tell you what, don't worry about it this year.
Well, I think, I agree with what you're saying, Rex, but I wonder if people realized how vicious the moderates, the liberals, the money backers, and the Romney team were willing to go. I was a little shocked how powerful it was, and I don't know. Maybe that's naivety on my part. I don't know, but it was pretty brutal.
Well, I think it got brutal because the Liberty Movement was effective. If the Liberty Movement was where it was in 08, they wouldn't have had to get this brutal. But because they
I'm talking about even Newt. I'm talking about even against Newt.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look, could you see it coming? I mean, look, hindsight is 20/20. No, you probably couldn't see it coming. But the simple fact is that never underestimate the capacity of men to do the most vile things in order to hold on to power. And that's what you're seeing now. They're desperate. They're desperate to keep it because they thought they had it. They thought they had it locked up. They thought people would get in line.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see, you know, Rove's head exploding, you know, Romney shocked that he didn't win and all this stuff. I mean, look, the Obama got 13% less turnout and you still lost. This proves to you that you don't have control. You don't have the power, that people are going to do what's right in their gut despite you telling them to fall in line behind your crappy candidate. And that's freaking them out. And they will resort. Look what they resorted to. They have a rule that says that whoever the presumptive nominee is gets to pick all the delegates. I mean, that's like saying to all the states, you don't matter. That's saying to every precinct and every caucus and every convention and every central committee, you don't matter. There's, you know, six of us up here. We decide what happens, and all you do is go knock on the door, send us your money, and put the stupid bumper sticker on the back of your car. Well, even if people agree with your neocon agenda, you can't treat people like that. They won't react well. The people don't like to be treated like that. That's what the Democrats do. Go join the Democrat Party.
Yeah, Obama when he was at one of his meetings, stop your whining. Take off your bedroom slippers. Quit whining. Get behind me. Shut up. I mean, he just basically told him what to do, you know. That was pretty amazing. I guess that didn't work with the Republicans.
No. Well, here's the thing, and people, you know, you hear this all the time. Well, you know, you can't split the Republican vote because, you know, I mean, we got to stick together. The Democrats stick together all the time, you know, and I would dare say that because Democrats and liberals, I just don't think they're as principled as conservatives are, not true conservatives. I mean, I say, you know, because people are like, well, you know, you see the Democrats always, you know, stick together, and, you know, they very rarely ever split to, like, you know, talk about third-party things of that nature. Well, because, you know, they just don't stand as principled. They're more of relativistic than conservatives are. And thus, you know, they'll accept certain things that conservatives will not. Well, at least, you know, that's just my opinion.
Except 13% decided they weren't going to accept it this time.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, well, those 13% that voted that last said Obama got, I don't necessarily think those were Democrats or liberals. Those very well could have been some of the independents who voted for Romney. I'm not Romney, that voted for Obama in 2008.
Hey, Robert, I got to tell you something. If you're an independent that voted for Obama in 2008, you're a liberal. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, you may not be a Democrat, but you're a liberal. Why else would you vote for Obama?
Well,
here's why I think
that non-liberals would have voted for Obama in 2008. I was over in a college where it was a Jesuit Catholic college, and it had, you know, an Obama surrogate, you know, talking to a group of students, and then, you know, these were, you know, even conservative, moderate, you know, college. And so, the thing that amazed me is how they were able to have these kids convinced. And remember, a lot of these people who were probably also vote for Obama, the 13%, were probably students in 2008, and then they graduated not having a job in 2014. You know, I'm sure there was a percentage of those as well. But back to my point is, what they were like, well, why should Catholics, you would think would be conservative, 56% of Catholics voted for Obama in 2008.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what
they convinced these Catholics was that, let's use the abortion issue for instance, is they said, well, while Obama takes the stance of being pro-choice, his policies will contain the reasons why women go out and have abortions. See, women have abortions because this is what they convinced these people of. Is, well, women have abortions, you know, mainly because of financial reasons. And Obama's policies will alleviate the financial reasons why women have abortions. Thus, even though they're not fighting to have abortion made illegal, they're still going to make policies that is going to curtail
the
number
problem.
Of abortions because it's getting rid of the base reasons why women have them. And so they convinced. Well, yeah, so it convinced a lot of – I was amazed in this room how many people were nodding. I mean, these Catholics were nodding their heads like, oh, yeah, I could see that. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, there was times where, you know, I was asking all these questions, and the mediator, you know, the surrogate, the Obama surrogate was like, so does anyone else have a question besides, you know, this gentleman here? You know, because they were just all like taking it in, absorbing it, and just accepting it. And it was just unbelievably amazing to me.
Well, it shouldn't be that amazing, Robert. I mean, when you spend more time going to Democratic propaganda meetings instead of actually going to church, then you're going to fall for their lies because you have nothing but by which to compare it. I mean, look, the thing you have to understand, and this is a huge myth, and it's, you know, there's the evangelical vote and the Catholic vote, which are two sought-after votes because that represents the bulk of the population. And if you can shore up those two voting blocks, especially the Catholic voting blocks, allegedly 70 million people, then you win the election. Well, there's no such thing as a Catholic vote, and there's no such thing as an evangelical vote, because it doesn't exist as a block. If you're going to vote as an evangelical or as a Catholic, then there's only one way you can vote, and that would have been for Virgil Goode. I mean, there is no other. If you're going to vote as a Catholic,
I agree with that.
Or you're going to vote as an evangelical, you could only vote for Virgil Goode. You can't even vote for Gary Johnson. So there's no such thing. It's because people that's the problem with this whole narrative of, you know, how do we get Latinos, how do we get minorities, blah, blah, blah. This identity politics crap is nothing more than marketing and propaganda. It has nothing to do with principle, and that's the fundamental problem, because people identify as this group or that group or this vocation or this job or this, you know, this is my identity, but it doesn't mean anything because it's just a label. I belong to the club, you know, like I belong to the club that's called the Catholic Church, but I don't really do all the things the Catholics do, or, you know, quote, I identify as an evangelical, but there are, you know, some evangelical positions I don't agree with. Well, that's not how it works. And you know, so, you know, if you're going after, say, the Latino vote, well, what do Latinos like? Well, clearly they like burritos and cheap labor, so let's give them those things. You know, it's so stupid because you have to appeal to people as individuals, not as these ethnic or cultural or religious blocks, because that's not how people really think. Now, that's how they poll. That's how they might think in their meetings in kind of a group. But on an individual basis, people think individually. And why was Ron Paul so effective?
Yep.
Why did the movement behind Ron Paul look so different? Why does it have Catholics like Judge Napolitano and Thomas Woods and evangelicals and Latinos and blacks and Asians and young and old?
Military.
Especially the military. Why? Because Ron Paul appealed to you as an individual on principles that are uniquely American. And that's the only way you can win if you have a real election.
Well, I'm glad you put that last part in there about having a real election. You know, just, but, you know, because, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, we say other things, and yet Obama gets reelected. You know, it's like, I mean, while it doesn't surprise me just because in the historical facts, you know, that, you know, Rhino Republicans don't win in general elections, but I'm still surprised. I mean, even with the House and the Senate, which actually that surprises me more, to be honest, than the presidency does. I was surprised to see that the Democrats held the Senate. I was a little surprised the Democrats still had
surprised?
The Senate, held the Senate. Eh, a little bit, with all the money and all the rhetoric.
With the head of the ticket being so unpopular.
Well,
he lost his seat.
He did bring a lot of folks down, as you said, Chris. I know, but as I said, I was still a little bit, just a little bit surprised at just how wasteful it was. Well, I mean, we're right back where we were 4 years ago.
Well, Robert, it's surprising if we look at it that Obama won, which isn't true. Obama just didn't lose.
Yep.
I mean, he got 13% less people voting for him. So technically, that's not a win. He just didn't lose because Romney was worse, which is exactly what we told them. There was no victory here. Like Pat Caddell said, this is the election no one wanted to have. No one wants either of these guys. No one wanted to vote for either of these guys. They suppressed the vote so much and pissed people off so much that it was bound to have an effect down ballot. And, of course, Karl Rove's agenda was pretty much to marginalize conservatives. So if you ever had a conservative running in any of those seats like Murdoch and Aiken, they were booted. But guess what? And Romney also cost you all your liberal senators like Scott Brown. So, when you nationalize the election and put it on a, propaganda system like Fox News and CNN and all that stuff, it's going to be kind of a monolithic move. When you break it apart and you take it back down to the Electoral College and bring it down to the state level and get the states to actually assert their authority and manage the elections themselves the way they want, you cut down on fraud, you cut down on chicanery, and you empower people and you increase turnout, then you'll start to see things really start to move in the direction of individual choices based on principle as opposed to collective choices based on identity politics and propaganda.
Exactly. Yeah, you nailed that right there. Romney costs the Republicans a lot.
And you were saying that for a while too, Chris, right?
Well, and think about this.
I remember hearing you say that it was going to affect the down ballots,
Too bad I couldn't have got paid for that.
Well, it's one of those things that you know is going to happen, but when it does, you're still shocked. You see that car coming at you, and you're like, it's going to hit you, but even when it does, you're still surprised that it happened. In a car accident, it's like, then you see it coming. You know it's going to happen, but then when it does, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this just happened.
Well, the other thing that a lot of people tried to blow off, and which is amazing that people were actually able to suppress the thinking around this. Now, it didn't get everybody. But when they shut down, no Newt, no Ron Paul, no Sarah Palin, no conservatives, no Tea Party.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, favorite people. I mean, Sarah Palin helped hand 2010, a record win across the country. And she didn't even get a speaking spot at that convention. I rewatched some of those videos they put together, remember that video and the one I said that I wept when I saw it, that we put together. It was just some bits and pieces of the whole corruption, that occurred, things on the floor, the vote call off, the delegates, and then the lady never even, mentioning Ron Paul's name from the podium.
Right.
I watched that again and a couple more yesterday, and I'm thinking, This is so terrible, and there's no way you can suppress all of that. You can't. I mean, Ron Paul had his that night at the other facility, over 10,000 people sell out and people in the parking lot, and that event. And I've played that.
But didn't they even change the security to kind of make things tough for the Ron Paul delegates? Didn't they even change the security protocols?
They could to destroy them. Anything they could to minimize them, destroy them, suppress them, whatever. Yeah. I mean, just all of it. We lived it all day by day, that whole event. And it is amazing, number one, that they did it. Number two, they got away with it. Number three, that the rest of the people were able to suppress those facts in their own mind and flip that switch. I mean, obviously, a lot of people didn't. a pretty big chunk of money, you know, number. Chose not to, said that's it, enough. Because it's one thing to run a moderate like McCain, but even I remember when the delegate lawsuit was first put out, and I was listening to Richard Gilbert interviewing him on some of his live feeds and things like that, and he said it right up. He goes, "Yeah, McCain was not our candidate, but he said, but McCain wasn't a criminal. He didn't abuse us. You know, he said what has been done to this time around. You know, what I'm saying. But he said the level of what we essentially what he was saying was the level of what we experienced this time was beyond pale.
Yeah, well, I mean, the nature of corruption is that the more of it that you engage in, the easier it is to engage in more of it, and the more resistance there is to it, the more of it you'll have to engage in. And so there was so much resistance this time to their crappy candidate that they had to go to even more extreme measures. And they revealed themselves. Now you know, the one thing we all have to remember is for most Americans, about 24 hours after they get the results of which jerk-off is going to be managing the next decline, they just kind of go about their business and forget about it. So your job, if you don't want to be back here in 2014 and 2016, your job, if you know, is to tell them. And I would strongly recommend that you download the videos that show what happened at the convention before they disappear.
Right.
And start,
good point.
You know, give people the evidence to what happened. Now, for the most part, most people will resist immediately because they don't want to believe that they live in a country that is this bad. And you just got to keep one thing in mind. The majority of Jews in Germany voted for Hitler. Had they known what was going to happen, they wouldn't have. But they chose not to see it. And most people right now choose not to see what's happening. It's too frightening, and they don't have the basis of information. If they voted for Romney, they would have to acknowledge that they had a hand in what happened, and that's a difficult thing to admit. If you confront them right in their face and accuse them of stuff, they won't listen to you, so you have to approach them as a friend, and you have to let them know, look, things are bad, what's done is done, we are where we are, let me tell you what happened so that we can make sure it doesn't happen again, and I would like to get you involved so that you can help us change the ballot access, change the way that things are reported, change the way people, you know, run elections, and we have
find
to do it
candidates.
Now. To find good candidates. Yep. If you wait until, you know, 3 months into the election cycle in 2014, too late.
Right.
We have to do it now, and it's clearly not going to be as intense, and most of us won't be able to devote as much time to it as we have, say, in the last 12 months. But you can do a little bit every day, or at least a little bit every week, and just reach out to people, because the more of us get involved, the more of us understand, and the more petitions you get involved in, the more your local delegates and senators you contact about the election rules. I mean, right now, it just amazes me how many Republicans sound exactly like the Democrats did in 2000 with the whole, we stole the election, blah, blah. It's not, you know, it wasn't changed for Gore. It's not going to be changed for Romney. And the other thing is, why would you want to defend Romney? I mean, do you really think that you're going to get some kind of victory by vindicating Romney's loss as something that Obama did to cheat him out of it? Romney cheated to get the nomination. So what does it matter
if
Obama cheated to get the presidency? What you need to focus on is getting people aware so that we stop the cheating, period, and that we start running real elections as soon as 2014.
Well, you know, that actually brings up a topic that I had on my notes, where actually you just hit it. In highlighted red on a Word document, just as a topic for tonight, just to, you know, different things. One is all the information that's coming at us about election fraud, that we need to have a national recount, we need to do this. Somebody just posted in chat there was 108%
right.
of the population that voted in Michigan. I'm thinking Romney conceded, folks. Why? Because he did it too, and the better criminal got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand. Romney conceded. He didn't even contest it. He didn't bat an eye. I believe he got a phone call, said, sorry, we're going to go with Obama because we've worked out all of our issues with him and we're good. You're going to lose. Sorry. Thanks. Thanks for destroying the conservatives for us.
Well, I don't know if I think it to that level, Chris. I'm not saying that you're not
right.
Oh, come
on.
But look, understanding a little bit about how Wall Street works, and this is how Goldman Sachs does it, this is how the transnationals do it, they hedge. Their toes were going to be, you know, dancing whether it was Obama or Romney. And the thing about voter fraud is you can only steal an election if it is genuinely close, because you can only commit fraud in so many areas without it being so obvious that it would just invalidate everything. Gore and Bush was close. This was not close. So whatever cheating Romney did, Obama did just as much, if not more, but Obama had, you know, the wind at his back, even though he had 13% less turnout, and he won. And for Romney to go after Obama for fraud would mean that, you know, the Democrats could just as easily go after Romney for fraud, and guess what the end result will be? You'll invalidate Obama's frauds, you'll invalidate Romney's frauds, Obama will still win. And all it'll do is just, you know, be a mess. So it's, you know, if you're concerned about fraud, then bring it down to a local level, make it more open. And when I say open, that means you got to get the duopoly out of it, because Democrats and Republicans will pretend to fight tooth and nail, and maybe they will for their candidate, but when it comes to breaking their hold over the electoral process in your local community, they will band together to fight everybody else. And that's what you have to do, is break the duopoly piece by piece in your precinct. Break it in your precinct. If a million people each break it in their precincts, it will be broken nationally. That's what you have to do. That's the work of the next 723 days.
And it starts tomorrow. Like, I know one of the things we've mentioned is get a hold of one of the alternative parties that you can support and believe in, such as the Constitution Party or even Green Party or Libertarian Party, and especially since they did not get the percentages that, of course, we would have liked to have seen for these liberty parties. I call them really the people or grassroots parties. Is they need a lot of signatures, so contact their chairpersons in their state, or perhaps they have a local organization to get a hold of them there and start collecting signatures and building up an organization now. I know Randy from the Constitution Party has talked about they're looking for candidates, they're looking for people to volunteer and get involved. So the election was, you know, well, I guess a week ago yesterday. So it's already time to get ready and geared in for 2014. So contact them, you know, contact them tomorrow. Get things started, because especially when it comes to getting signatures, they spend so much time trying to get ballot access that they don't actually have as much time or enough time to campaign to get their selves out there. So the earlier you can start on that, the better.
Well, yeah, but hold on. Just to re-clarify this, you have to know when there's rules on when signatures are supposed to be gotten. So you want to make sure that you check with the...
Well, sure. Well, that's why you get a hold of the chairperson. They'll know those rules.
Yeah, because most of that happens right before the election. You know, so make sure that you find out what is needed. Sorry, anyway, I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you have to really kind of, I mean, you know, get involved, but do not be afraid to work with people who you may not agree with on policy issues, because this isn't a policy issue. This is about fairness, justice, open and fair elections. So don't be afraid to work with Green Party activists, Occupy Wall Streeters, or anybody else. Don't be afraid, because this is not a partisan policy issue. This is about fairness and openness. And we know that in a fair and open debate, conservative ideas win. So you got nothing to lose, but you can work with these people. I mean, look at the issue regarding the Federal Reserve, okay? You got Rand Paul, obviously, right? But you also got Dennis Kucinich. Now, I can't agree with Dennis Kucinich about just about anything, but I agree with him about the Fed. Bernie Sanders, he's allegedly an independent, okay, he caucuses with the Democrats, but he's actually a out-and-out socialist. He's not even one of these Dems that pretends to be a progressive, but he's really a communist. He actually states that he is a socialist. But guess what? I'll work with him. I'll sign his petition, his bill or whatever regarding the Fed. So you got to be
honest.
Exactly. You got to be unafraid. You know, to stop being a Republican and be unafraid to work with people who, with whom you do not agree with on principle or policy, but you agree with them about open and fair elections. I mean, look, do I sound like a Ralph Nader fan? Not really. I wouldn't vote for the guy, but I applaud what he did by having all four candidates for a debate on November 4th. And you know, I'm glad that Jill Stein and Rocky Anderson were there. Certainly they're crazy. Certainly their ideas are just ridiculous. But they have a right to say them, and they should have the same ballot access. If enough people want to, you know, vote for Jill Stein, good for them. You know for a fact that if the Democrat Party actually stated what their real agenda was, 15% of this country may vote for them, no more. And if the Republicans said who they really were, maybe they get 20% and no more. Okay, so don't be afraid to work with people who you find uncomfortable. But, I mean, one of the best places for you to go if you want someone who's ahead of the curve on all these things, contact your local Campaign for Liberty. They've been doing this for a long time. They've got the game down. So get involved and see how you can help them. If we can get signatures and we can get access to the ballots, we know that the Constitution Party, we know that the Libertarian Party and real conservatives in the Republican Party will win.
Well, I just heard a possible plane. I really hope that wasn't a drone flying over Rex's home.
Did you sign
that petition?
We get drones here all the time.
Sign that petition?
Which one, about getting more drones over Rex's home?
I want a drone. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, have your own drone. Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
And I'm sure that, you know, we do, you know, but they just don't have the RFID chip in yet to hone in. But, you know, look, and the other thing is point out and look, if you've got
one that you like play with.
Why not? But, I mean, even if you have friends who are not conservative, because we all do, okay, we have associations in various places and some of our friends are not, you know, conservative. Maybe we avoid talking politics with them because it ends up being an argument, which I think is good, but maybe that's what you avoid. But you can talk to them about this. Because if they're fair-minded and they want their voice heard, they want more ballot access. If they're fair-minded and they actually want to express their true liberal views, then remind them that the first act that their, quote, liberal president did after he became reelected, okay, was to use drones to kill people, ostensibly the terrorists. I don't know if they are or aren't, but if they're terrorists, that's, you know, doesn't change the fact that illegally use drone strikes in a country of where we have not declared war, in Yemen. Now, that's not a very anti-war thing to do. That's not a very Nobel Peace Prize-winning thing to do. So clearly the guy is not who they think he is. Not only is he who we think he is, a Marxist corporatist, but he's not who they think he is, and they would have felt better voting for Jill Stein. So let them know if they want voices heard, then they need to help work on the ballot access. That's something we can all agree on.
Well, Jill Stein guarantees that you're going to have a job in her new Green Deal, and she guarantees, because she's Poseidon's daughter, that she can control the weather. That's a worthy vote.
I didn't know she was Poseidon's daughter. That's interesting.
Well, she was claiming some pretty big power there. Started talking about the hurricane, all that stuff, that she could stop that. And I was thinking, boy, she thinks she's got, you know, I mean, I thought Obama and Romney had some pretty big egos, but that's pretty powerful thinking.
Maybe she knows the magic spell to change the weather.
I guess, yeah. We might put her in a rocket, send her to the sun, and solve the real problem.
I'd rather put Obama and Romney in a rocket and send them to the sun. Jill Stein is relatively harmless.
I think, no kidding.
She'll just go out and get herself arrested again, that's all.
Well, I think Priebus and Romney should go back to France and take a vacation. I mean, doesn't he have a mansion in France that he used to hide at instead of going to the Vietnam War?
Yeah, I don't know if he owns that. I think that's the LDS Church owns that mansion.
Oh, really?
But I'm sure they welcome Romney there anytime. And I'm sure that with the assist that Prince Pubis gave Romney, they'd welcome him too.
Has anybody heard that if they're going to actually fire him or
that's the
run against?
Let's get ready to ask that.
No, I don't think they're going to fire him. He hasn't stated whether he's seeking, re-election for the chairmanship or not. But I thought I heard that he was. If you don't want a repeat of what's going on, then you'd better start telling your congressmen, your delegates, the RNC, that you are not putting up with Pubis. Tell them to bring Steele back. They won't, but, you know, at least get rid of Pubis.
If they don't, that's a pretty bad sign that they haven't got a clue what just happened.
Yeah. They'll probably try to, blame the conservatives or say that, Romney should have ran more towards the center.
If he ran more towards the center, then he would have actually had some more conservative views because he was so far to the left. I mean, I don't think he could even see the center from where he was.
I knew you were going to say that.
An extreme conservative, but we know better. I've heard that talk about him. I've already heard that talk about some folks saying that he was too conservative. Of course, we hear that all the time.
They say that. Go ahead. But when they say it, my question, and no one's given me a cogent answer yet. When they say he was too conservative, I say, what exactly was he conservative about? There's no answer. He wasn't.
He said he's such a businessman, creates jobs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said he would defund Planned Parenthood. Okay, he said he would. But yet in Massachusetts, he didn't. So, where exactly is this, conservative thing?
It's an illusion to get people to vote for him. That's what it was. And that's what's sad is that people bought into it in their fear.
They were so afraid of Obama. And those folks who, because I talk about third parties, I'm talking about, people in my personal circle. They're like, in the end, even after, of course, especially after the election, they say, the third parties, they didn't get all that. They didn't get what Ross Perot got, back when he ran. And I said, the reason why that the third parties, in my opinion at least, didn't get the same kind of traction that, Perot did when he ran is because the campaign of fear that was run by, the Republican Party, and I think the Democrats were part of it as well, was just so very effective this time around. It just, I think that was a huge reason why third parties didn't get as much traction as the most important election of our lifetime would have merited, especially with the options that, the folks had, in the two major parties.
Well, something I was going to say earlier, and it kind of it's one of those things that pops up in the back of my mind over the last couple nights of shows, was there needs to be a better debate system set up through the primary instead of just three debates at the end for the minority parties. You know what I mean? In other words, this system needs to go farther back in the process so that we can get these people on stage, on video, on the internet, on YouTube, and passed out.
On the TV as well. Because that is, the most powerful medium right now when it comes to the debates.
Well, you have to ask yourself this question. Will you have more success convincing the corporatist media to give these people voice, or will you have a better shot of convincing a few people to start looking at other channels? I'm not a fan of RT because it's Russian television. It's basically Pravda. But when it comes to not reporting things about Russia, they tend to give us more news than our corporatist media. Can you convince people to watch RT or even Al Jazeera, or check it out on YouTube by sending them the links rather than trying to convince Fox News and MSLSD to actually be fair?
I believe that we have, in 2 years and 4 years, we're going to have even larger audiences. The problem is, you look at us three, Tex Rex, this little group, and Randy, You know, what's the sphere of our influence? You know, a few thousand people? You know, and that's because we started late. You know, we didn't have the strategic thinking that we have today. A lot of us got involved because we saw something and we were just searching for places to get involved in. I wasn't a Facebook person. You know what I mean? I was the last guy of this group to even get on the radio. I didn't even know, you know, what it was. So, you know, we have a lot more at our fingertips now. Free and Equal broke the sound barrier by doing something, even though they messed it up with the second debate. NATO tried to do something, even though its technology sucked.
Oh, that's awful.
I couldn't believe in this day and age. That was the best I could have done. That was just terrible. And
yeah.
I still haven't seen the full debate. I'd like to because it was incredible. They were digging in. They were asked. They were like us when we do interviews. And so all we have to do is just get these components in place sooner. Because one thing I've learned from studying the Ron Paul movement is nothing stops them from getting information out. They're masters at compiling it, you know, capturing it, putting it together, building the videos, and then the getting it out there. I mean, I've learned a lot just observing that movement. Well, it's going to be better because there's a lot of POed people, and that social networking and the internet sites and, you know, and the speed that they can get information out. So what we need is we need more information sooner, debate sooner. And all these third parties or minority parties, I'm getting tired of that term, kind of like conservative. They're not, you know, third party is just not what it is. It's, you know, it's
alternate
minority party. Alternate parties. You know,
alternate
they need
grassroots,
to work together.
Right.
They need to work together. They also need to get real polls done. And that's something I had that conversation with Randy. That needs to be in the budget. You need polls so that you have real numbers to give people. Even though we know polls are whatever they are, people do respond to those things.
Yes, they do.
You know, those are a couple of thoughts in terms of strategy.
Oh, they were used big time in the primaries to you know try to prop up this this thing or another.
Before a debate and after a debate. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean people pay attention to them whether they're bull crap or not, and the third party is going to want to do polls to get the information. So these parties, you know, Rex was talking about this. You know, that you can't live an ideologue mentality if you want to win this game. You have to think across the board. You have to know, I don't say you have to, but, you know, for me, understanding the Green Party and their platform, understanding the Justice Department, you know, party and their platform, interviewing people like Robbie Wells, you know what I'm saying? Knowing, going in, find out who they are, what their records are. And so you're able to, off the tip of your tongue, you're able to pass that information on to the person. And Randy said it before, working together. You know, we need numbers.
Well, real quick, Chris, there's only about 12 minutes left here of live time. And we could go into, it's been going fast a lot lately. And we could go recording time. I don't know if I'll do it for a full hour tonight. It's possible, but yeah, I don't know. But I do see some callers in, and if you'd like to chime in to the live portion of the conversation, just hit the 1 on your phone dial to let me know that you'd like to chime into the conversation, and then I will promptly let you in if you do so. So sorry about the interruption, Chris, but we'll go on for about 5 more minutes, and then I'll close things up for which will give me about 5 minutes to close things up for the live portion.
Let me ask Rex a question. Yeah, let me ask Rex a question. Did you see this, or did you hear me say this earlier, that we're looking, U.S. to overtake Saudi Arabia in oil production? Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise.
By 2016?
Yeah, it's not. Look, we've got more oil than everybody. We just... the oligarchs want to exploit everybody else first because they own more than 50% of our resources here as it is. So plus they want to keep taking our money at higher prices. If we actually produced the oil that we could, you know, we'd be paying way less for gas. And remember, that's just nothing more than a tax.
Hello.
You know, Yeah, I said that's nothing more than just a tax, you know, the higher gas prices. You know, they inflate
right.
your dollar away, they tax you, and then they charge you a heck of a lot for gasoline, which affects the price of everything. It's just a tax. And if we were actually to produce more oil, then, you know, the price would go down and you wouldn't be taxed as much. They don't want that. They want us paying higher prices, and they want to keep making their little spread on the difference. It's all manipulated. And
Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
I just can make the comment. You talked about manipulate it. And just every time I hear that about gas prices, it always brings me back at least when it's around an election about the election prices. I know that the day of the election, I mean, that it was like, I don't, you know, people are like, oh, no, that's the case. But I'm telling you, it is every 4 years. It was like $3.07 a gallon the day of the election and the build-up to the election. The day, right after the election, it jumped up to $3.45. I'm like, it jumped up like, you know, for 47 cents or something. So it jumped up like 40 cents in one day. And I listened to the news because normally if, you know, the wind blows too hard, gas prices raise. But there was nothing that would have caused it to jump up, at least not in one day. So I'm telling you, every 4 years, and normally, you know, people are like, oh, that's correlation without causation. But every year, you know, when it's a general election time, right before the election, gas prices drop. The day afterwards, they shoot right back up. So that was good.
Well,
I'm telling you, there's got to be something out there.
Well,
reason for that.
And I was going to tell you, Randy's in the queue, but also something that people do not understand is that we just come out with a whole new series of kind of a quantum leap in gas savings on vehicles, in the new breed of vehicles. There was a big jump, you know, because they can produce high, you know, I already know in Europe they've got vehicles that do twice what we get. And in fact, we make some of the engines here, but they can't be sold here. I mean, it's some crazy crap. People don't get this stuff. But the fact that they have all these new vehicles putting out higher miles per gallon, the price is never going to go down because the government's still going to make its money.
Oh, yeah.
That's what people don't understand.
There's a guy that started a company, and I think it's in the middle of the country somewhere, Kansas maybe, where he can refit your engine to get something like 100 miles to the gallon, okay?
Yeah.
Which is just awesome. And, I mean, we're talking about a Hummer. He can get a Hummer to get 100 miles to the gallon. The problem is, because of the way the corporatist regulations are set up, in order for him to be able to make a profit doing it, it costs you $50,000. So, you know, here you got a $45,000 or a $50,000 or a $60,000 vehicle, and it's going to cost you twice as much in order to get it to 100 miles a gallon, and it's going to be a long time before that will actually pay itself back at $3.50 or $4 a gallon. But it's not that the technology doesn't exist or that we're incapable of doing it. It's that the corporatists manage it. I mean, you look at most of the stuff that we use today, especially vis-a-vis, you know, electricity. That was all invented by Nikola Tesla. Everybody always credits Edison, but it was Tesla. And, you know, look it up. There's several documentaries that are really excellent. They're posted on YouTube. You can watch them free and look them up. But he died penniless because the corporatists shut him out because they favored Edison because he was one of them. And you pay more for all this crap because of it. Look at what they're trying to do with the stupid mercury light bulbs. I mean, these things are dangerous to your health even if they don't explode. And yet they're forcing it to you as some kind of environmental thing. It costs you more. It does damage to you. But they make a huge profit. And what these companies do is they invest in garbage that doesn't work, and rather than write it off as a loss because it's a competitive marketplace, they get laws passed to make their useless stuff forcibly sold on you. And so, you know, if you want to change all that, the first thing you have to do is eliminate their stranglehold. And their stranglehold only exists for two reasons. One, free money from the Federal Reserve, and fake elections between two parties that are exactly the same. Those are the two things you have to focus on, and don't think it's like some kind of insurmountable thing and it'll never be allowed, and, you know, Obama's a dictator like Chavez and he'll never let us get away with it. Obama's not that powerful, okay? He's just a puppet. He's just a patsy, okay? And Washington isn't all that powerful. If you will simply do what you should be doing, what you can do, what's within your power in your community, okay? We're all over the country. All right, Ron, look at the Ron Paul Revolution. It's taken over at least 11, maybe 14 Republican states. So the fact is, and don't expect that it's all going to be roses and sunshine by 2014 or even 2016. But imagine if we'd started doing this in 92. Where would we be today?
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of lamenting it, woulda, coulda, shoulda, start today. Let's take a step in 2014, a step in 2016. Maybe by 2020, we'll have real elections, we'll have more openness, and we'll actually start to roll the ball back. You know.
Okay, and we're at about the 5 minute mark of the live show.
Randy,
cool.
So two things is Randy, your mic is open. 661. I do see you're in the switchboard. If you'd like to chime in, just push the one button on your phone dial, and I'll let you in. But since it's only 5 minutes, I'd like to thank all the guests for coming in and chiming in tonight. Also, like to thank the listeners on Blog Talk Radio and the Bars Logic Political Talk website, and also for you who have been listening to this on the archives. Thank you for that as well. And also for the folks, they check out the Bards Logic Political Talk website and go to the Get Involved page where you can see a link that will take you to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, in which, as I said earlier in the show, I think it would be a great Christmas present for one of your children, in which you can, for them, adopt a baby elephant whose parents were killed by poachers in Kenya, and that's only $50 for 1 year to be able to do that. So you can easily go to the Bards Logic Political Talk website by going through the Blog Talk Radio page where the link is provided next to the icon. So everyone have a good night. Thank you for coming to the live portion. We will have an extended version for a while. I don't know if it'll go the full hour, or should I say 59 minutes, since I'll be live learning the past couple times. It's not a full hour. It's only about 59 minutes. So without further ado, I'm opening it up to Randy. Go ahead. Your mic is live.
Well, thank you, and good evening, gentlemen. It's good to be here. Always good to hear your voices, and I heard Chris using my name in vain frequently, so, you know. I'm dealing with a lot of the aftermath of what happened, and I reached out to some groups, and there's some people that are bitter, and I know they are looking to cling to any old excuse to escape the fact that the blame falls directly upon their own shoulders. And I'm really struggling. There's a war that's going on within my own breast. The war is, do I slay with the truth? Do I knock them out? Do I go for the blood? I mean, that's really, man, that's me. That's what I want to do. But how much crow do I have to eat to say, okay, I'm sorry, Obama won and blah, 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 but hey, look, we've got a future to still look towards, can we work together? I'm struggling with that, to be quite honest, okay? And so that's about all I've got to offer tonight. I've just been dealing with this all day long. I see some bright spots, and I see some absolute black holes. And, I don't know if you guys had a chance to talk about it or not, but that petition for the states to secede, I'm just going to laugh, okay?
We've seen it.
I'm just going to laugh and leave it at that.
Come on, Randy. Let's hear your chime in on this.
I guarantee you, it's the same people, who told me, I'm living in a fantasy world. If I really believe my candidate's ever going to win, or you're living in a fantasy, or you're going to split the vote, and the only vote that matters is a vote for Romney to keep Obama out. Any other vote will vote Obama in, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I'll guarantee you, it's the same people that was trying to shove that crap down my throat that's out there signing this petition. And I'll guarantee you, they're signing that petition just because I did such a terrible thing, maybe I could feel good about it succeeding. And I'm like, you know, have you guys even remotely considered what it means for a state to secede? I mean, I've thought about it. You know, I would love to see Illinois secede from the Union. But I got to tell you, it would be pretty problematic for Illinois, especially if we did it alone and there was no roadway to get to any of the borders, because we are landlocked and we are surrounded by the United States. So guess what? Sanctions, the borders. Now you want to talk about a way to get the state or the national to close the borders? Have a state secede and they'll close the borders on the state. Leave the borders open for the countries, but you know, in a heartbeat, they'd close the borders to that state, prohibit any transportation without excessive taxes and all kinds of things. So, you know, for people just to go out there and sign a petition and ask the president for permission to secede from the Union is absolutely ridiculous. And to see the number, the massive number of people who are signing that petition, who refuse to sign my petition that actually matters somewhere. Okay.
Hey, Randy, let me add this to it. What I get a kick out of, and I don't know if you've seen my post, but I keep telling people, I go, man, FEMA must really like you, the fact that you went to a U.S. government site and fill out your information on that site for them.
Yeah, you made it pretty easy for them now.
Yeah, well, I think I don't even have to worry about that. I'm sure they got, well, I mean, look, I was a Marine. There's absolutely nothing that the federal government doesn't know about me. I gave up my privacy when I joined the Marine Corps. They know my blood type, my DNA, my fingerprints, my medical history. I mean, there's nothing about me that the federal government doesn't already know. So, you know what? I put that into God's hands a long time ago. So, you know, if they want me, here I am.
Did I tell you, come on, don't hear me anymore. No.
There's a knock at your door. Please surrender your firearm at once.
Hey,
tell us how you really feel.
No, I was going to say that. But it's understood.
Yeah.
Look, this secession thing is just like we talked about it briefly earlier, Randy. It's just an emotional reaction to feel good about something. Secession is a fine thing. It is a right that the states have, and they should reserve that right. It's the D-Day button, man. That is the final straw when the United States is really just over. Okay, so yeah, and guess what? When the time for that comes, you don't need a petition. Okay, it's one of those things that happens rapidly and violently. So this whole idea of, you know, what you really think the federal government is just going to say, oh, okay, you didn't like the election, so you want to leave the Union. That's fine. Go right ahead. I mean, is that what Lincoln did? So it's a silly thing. And I wish that these people that are getting excited about secession would get a little more excited about nullification. Sign some nullification petitions. That's a legitimate thing to do. That's something that would actually work. So,
well,
you know, let's focus up, people.
Just you know, stop drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, it was just so bizarre to me that I guarantee you it was the same people who was trying to accuse me of not living in reality who's out there signing this petition. I'm like, really? Seriously? You're signing this petition? You want to say I'm not living in reality? Man, you all must live in Colorado or that big part is drifting over your state now.
Well, what I don't understand is they're not willing to, let's say a good portion of these are Republicans, so they're not willing to leave the Republican Party, but they're willing to leave the United States of America.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, you'll go out and sign a petition to secede from these United States, have to write your own constitution. I'd love to see what that would look like, you know. and to think that they have, well, you can't win, and you're wasting your time, and all this other stuff in the process where we we actually have an opportunity if they just get their minds out of their posterior regions or their neighbor's posterior region or wherever it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've looked at all the names, and I guess it's somewhere on Facebook. I've seen a little blip of it, but I guess there's. Well, I went to the link, and you know, what I find interesting, Chris pointed this out, is, you know, it's what a government website. It's the WhiteHouse.com that's putting out this putting out the petition.
Well, you know what's going to happen?
Seriously. I mean,
you know what's going to happen? The left media is going to have a field day with this for about a month.
Yeah.
All them right-wing kooks.
Well,
look what they did to Rick Perry.
Really, I find it fascinating because in the post I started adding, did you not ever hear of that little thing that happened in America called the Civil War not too awful long ago? Did you totally miss that? Did you not understand that these United States of America actually had a civil war over that issue? Do you not understand that? And that you think somehow signing some silly little stinking freaking petition is going to somehow matter? And then, of course, they're out there. Well, this is going to get the media's attention. Whoop-de-doo!
Well, Randy, in some parts of the country, we never had a civil war. So, you know, down here, we call it the War for Southern Independence. Some people call it the War of Northern Aggression. But either way you cut it, let's not talk about the recent unpleasantness. Let's talk about the fact that these fools that are signing secessionist petitions are playing right into this Republican narrative that Romney lost the election because Republicans are too old and too white and not attracting enough identity politics. That's what this is part. It's part of the changing the narrative from what the narrative really is. The narrative is that there's a duopoly. That's what we need to focus on, not appealing to somebody based on their skin color, their sex, or their national origin. Let's appeal to people based on liberty and on principles of fairness, justice, and freedom. And this is just a distraction. And they're going to keep floating these kinds of things because guess what? They think that if they distract us enough in the next 90 days, we'll shut up until 2016.
Yeah,
that's
baby.
Exactly what they want.
Yeah, see if I shut up.
Yeah, well, we're getting a much, as Chris has pointed out, we're getting a much earlier start this time than we did for the 2012 election, knowing what we know now, after what we've seen this time, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, guys, seriously, and if there's any girls out there too, but we are actually, and I'm at least glad of this one thing. We in the Constitution Party here, specifically in Illinois, and I know because I was chairman for 6 years here. Well, we were always trying to find somebody earlier, but we just could not get anybody found to run for office for, you know, anything, dog catcher, you know. It was difficult, and gaining momentum and trying to pull this party up out of the mud has been tremendously painful, I will tell you that. But right now, we're going to be holding our meeting this coming weekend for our state committee meeting, and we've already got several people who said, hey, I am running for this particular office or that particular office, and we are laying the groundwork, and I'm real excited, you know, part of the groups, the 912 Tea Party groups that I've been connecting with, they're going to join us in our meeting this weekend, and I have every intention of seeing that out of that, we start forming some county parties and start getting some counties organized right here in my local area. And so I'm pretty excited about some of the things that we are laying the groundwork for right now, getting candidates, getting organized, getting all of this stuff put together, because quite frankly, if I can say it this way, Robert, not violate your rules, I'm tired of having my ass handed to me, okay?
Well, ass is okay. It's just the F-bomb and GD are pretty much the two words I don't want to I don't have here.
You will virtually never hear that come from my lips. And reality,
you're
never
going to run for dog catcher?
Yeah, I'm still trying to find any state or any county that actually runs dog catcher for a political office.
I've never seen one, I must admit.
I've never seen one, and I've kind of done a little bit of research. I'm like, you know, they say it enough. I wonder if there's anybody that actually does. But
that's hilarious.
But the point is that we are putting and laying the groundwork where we've never done that, been able to do that, quite frankly, before. And so, you know, while I certainly have had some my pessimistic moments, I've got at least a positive outlook, and at least, you know, from a Marine's perspective, an opportunity to fight this battle and to possibly actually seeing success. And that's what I have every intention of seeing.
Of your existing guys that just ran on, I think it was like 107, have you guys consolidated and communicated with all those guys? Are they going to run again, get out a percentage?
Not yet. In fact, you know, some of the work is really trying to work with these states to find all the numbers of all the elections. I mean, we still don't have all the write-in information from Virgil Goode from all the states, and there's some other things. But I'm hoping to have that information here real soon. It sounds like Cynthia Davis from my communications that I've seen so far, she's got every intention of staying with us, which, you know, she was a Republican for so long, and what I've seen historically is that they come and they go. But it appears that she's going to be sticking with us, and if she does, I think that's going to be a very, very, very important key person in the party right there in Missouri, because, you know, not only of who she was, but the work she just did in terms of running the race and the lessons learned there, I think she's going to provide some tremendous insight about, especially for Missouri, to start running races to win and to succeed in doing so. And so, you know, there's certainly some numbers and some other information we're going to be putting together. You know, and there's a lot of people that have lessons learned that we are going to be pulling this information, because certainly, you know, Republicans and Democrats are not going to share that information with us. The only way we're going to get that is if people come from there who have had success and start, you know, applying that to this process that we're involved in. And I think one of the other things, and I will say this on a quick side note, one of the things I got to tell you, though, trying to win races in a third party or independent effort is different than winning the races in the Republican and Democrats. For instance, Cynthia Davis, when she was a state rep, she had people just automatically giving her money just because she was a Republican. She received $10,000 and $20,000 donations just simply because she was a Republican. Okay, that doesn't happen here. Nobody's giving me donations just simply because I'm a Constitution Party candidate, and we've got a different dynamic to work with. You know, the Republicans, they're pretty much guaranteed to get their percentage to get, you know, on the ballot again. Now, they almost lost it in Colorado a few years ago, but, you know, they still retained it. But we have to constantly get the signatures, overcome the ballot requirements to retain ballot access, and to a mental fight that we have to fight. You know, the whole fear-mongering and the you can't win and all that, it's a completely different dynamic in a third party. So people who think they can just come to the Constitution Party or any third party, having been in one of the previous major parties before, what they did there is not really going to work here. Some of the principles apply, I'll give you that, but there is a process by which we have to fight this battle, and it can't be from the way the other two are doing it, because we don't have the money and the resources. So I just want to make that clear to people that there is a different dynamic running in this particular venture through the alternative party system rather than running in one of the duopoly parties.
You need to do a Marine-type advertisement, YouTube clip, you know, that concept of, you know, the few, the proud, you know, people who want to save the country. We are looking for, you know what I'm saying, it's drawing the right kind of people that are just absolutely sick to death. This election, has got the attention of a lot of people. 11 million people said, forget it, I'm not wasting my vote. You know, we're in a dynamics, and I just believe that it's getting that message. If you can set that beacon, you know, and plant that flag, that you're going to find some great people come up out of the ranks of our society. People have got to be sick to death of this.
I would think a lot of folks would be. And I'm going to go ahead and shut things down in about 15 minutes for tonight. But was good to open up for Rex, but I see that it's an early day for him tomorrow, that I know. So I'd like to say thank you, Rex, for coming on tonight and participating in the show. And, of course, folks, you can listen more of Rex on the Tex and Rex Show, which is live on Sunday evenings from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time. So thanks again, Rex, for coming on to the show. And so go ahead, Chris, and then said we're going to do this for about another 15 minutes, and I'm going to close things out.
Let me ask Randy a question. And I noticed that you're getting back on your shows, Randy. So what's your thoughts? What are you going to do, et cetera, et cetera? And also kind of expand on that and explain that, you know, you don't just do Blog Talk Radio, that you're actually tied into another network that actually gets some of your stuff on with, I was going to say bad word, but legitimate regular radio shows. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not that we're illegitimate here, but you know what I mean.
Right. Well, thank you for asking that, Chris. And if you don't mind, I'll just take a couple minutes. You know,
I don't mind, Randy. Go ahead.
Actually, I'll tell you, a little bit over a year, just a little over a year ago, about maybe a year and a half, somewhere around in there, I really wanted to start doing some broadcasting. I had some friends who were doing it, and I just felt like I had a message, and there was some education that needed to happen. And I'll tell you, one day I got a call just completely out of the blue. A guy by the name of John Kottmeyer called me. Now, I almost couldn't understand him. He's got one of those deep Louisiana, bayou draws that I almost couldn't understand. In fact, I actually had to look up his name just to figure out what name he gave me. But he said, hey, look, we've seen your website, and we like what you're doing and wondering if you would like to start broadcasting. I'm like, what? Heck yeah, I'll broadcast. And so I actually started working with them right out of the gate. And I tried a couple of different mediums, you know, the conference calling mediums where you can record your calls and that. And that just didn't seem to pan out. There was another one called the TalkShoe that I tried, and it didn't work out all that great, although there was some good stuff that I liked about it. At the time, a year ago, they were broadcasting. They had the Liberty Works Radio Network. They broadcast from in the morning till late at night. They have Alex Jones. They broadcast another the IOTC, which is the Institute on the Constitution. In fact, it's run by Michael Peruca, who was a former 2004 presidential candidate for the Constitution.
Yeah, Peruca.
It's a really good website and teaching on the Constitution. And so they broadcast this, and they were being broadcast on one or two radio stations in Florida. And so I started, putting together my show. In fact, my very first interview was G. Edward Griffin, and he was my very first. So, in fact, I meant to have him on the anniversary day, but I wasn't able to get that accomplished. But my task is, I've had a website for quite some time called Constitutionally Correct, and I'm trying to provide resources for people to just get the information from our founding fathers. And I use the broadcast to really further that, interview important people that have information, such as we did Kelly Mordecai this morning. I've interviewed Jerome Corsi, Tom DeWeese, and DB Kidd, and many others. And, but I always put on that twist of it, what's the constitutionally correct nature out of this, and what can we pull out of it? And just recently, and I say recently, within the last 1 to 2 months, they've pulled in three new radio stations that are broadcasting their stuff in Tennessee and some other places in the Midwest here. So it's actually being broadcast on at least four radio stations. And so I divide up my show into three 15-minute segments. And Blog Talk, it gives me the opportunity to, you know, have callers call in. And then hopefully in the near future, if I can start raising some money and getting some sponsors, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be able to actually start broadcasting live. And that's really what my goal is here eventually. And but, you know, the bottom line is we have to educate. We have to educate. We have to get these people engaged in the process and to help them understand what it's going to take to win this country back and to dissolve the two-party duopoly. But, you know, have this multi-party system and, you know, what all the is entailed under that. So that's kind of in a long nutshell what it's all about.
Well, but a shorter part of that question is you're starting to do shows again and you haven't been.
Yeah,
so
well,
you're going to be doing.
I think I kind of briefly mentioned this to you guys. I basically been doing my shows for about 2 to 3 weeks. While I was engaging with you all's show, I mean, you were actually doing most of what I was already doing anyway in terms of interviewing a lot of the Constitution Party candidates. And I thought it was good that they were interviewed from somebody else other than being interviewed by me, and that it demonstrated an interest in what they were doing outside the party. Me doing it, you know, I'm expected to do those kind of things because, you know, it's my party. But to have other people. And so, you know, I just really wanted to develop the relationships and engage that process because, you know, I was learning and being motivated by you guys as well. So I actually sacrificed my shows, but fortunately I had recorded enough that I was able to give some content in between time, but I'd never for that, well, from almost the first time I started talking with you all, I hadn't done a show until recently, but I'm going to start doing them every morning at 9 a.m., and except for I don't have a show scheduled for tomorrow, and I've got some volunteering, but we're going to start doing this on a real consistent basis so that people can start knowing it's time to tune in.
Okay, yeah, great. And speaking of multi-party systems, I'm working on an interview with a guy who's a expert on Irish politics, and you probably already well know this, Randy. They have a multi-party system, and they also have a very interesting voting system, which I would love to see adopted here in the United States. It's preferential proportional voting, where you actually vote for multiple candidates for a single position. Let's say, for instance, for the president, of course, their president's different. There's a president there, and Ireland's more of like a figurehead or, you know, a secretary of state, perhaps. But let's say, and their Taoiseach is not, which is their prime minister, is not picked, is not voted in particularly, like, or he's just voted in by the party that gets the majority of their Congress or their House. But, or their dolls, as they call it. But anyway, is what you do is, let's say for president, you would have say, okay, well this person's my first choice. So let's say Virgil Good would have been my first choice, Jill Stein would have been my second, and Rocky Anderson would have been my third choice. I mean, it's a pretty mathematically complicated system that they do it, but it seems to work, and I think it's a better way, in my opinion.
I don't know if you guys knew it or not, but that was exactly the voting system that Free and Equal did to narrow it down from the four to the two.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Yeah. So, but he's got, but I've got an expert on Irish politics I'm talking with that he's agreed to come on the show. We just have to find out when would be a good time for him to be able to do it so he can kind of give us an explanation on those types of things. On how that works.
Yeah, well, I wasn't aware of
how multi-parties work, you know.
Right. Hey, I'm definitely going to tune into that. I wasn't aware of the voting, but I was somewhat aware of their political system. Not you know, I'm by far not even an expert, but I am slightly familiar with it.
Yeah, I actually found somebody gave me a link to a site, and it wasn't necessarily the Irish system, but somebody got into that. Remember that? We were talking about that one day, Robert? I gave you the link. But somebody got into it, and they were explaining how the system works, you know, where you would, like, if you had four candidates, you'd say, okay, my first choice is this guy, second choice is this guy, third choice, fourth choice. Then there was a link on that site, and it went into the mathematical, you know, explanation of why it was efficient. And that kind of started losing my mind trying to read it and understand it. But there was, you know, there was mathematicians who have run all kinds of formulas to prove that this is the most efficient and accurate way to vote and get the will of the people. So I'll have to dig it up. Who knows, man? I got thousands of links and stuff.
Send that back to me. Well, that's something I'll put on the that's something I'll probably put up on the website too, because that's one of the things I like to do is you know, is put more actual links to places on the website. I got a couple of videos. I took a bunch down, of course, now that the election is over. So I'll be doing a little bit of revamping of the website.
You mean Ned with his dog on the car is down?
I'm sorry?
Mitt with his dog on the car, that video.
Oh, I never had that video. But I did have some other videos on there. But it is about 25 after, so I'd like to go ahead and get ready to close things out by saying, of course, thank you, gentlemen, for coming on and speaking on the show tonight, and also thank you to the audience for listening in. And, of course, check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk website and check out the Get Involved page where, as I said, you can find the button that will send you to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, in which you can find information on on sponsoring an orphaned baby elephant. And I think that'd be a great Christmas gift. It's only $50 a year to be able to do something like that, and it's a great organization. So to check that out. So I've got 1 minute for each of you before I put on the music that I normally do at the end of the show by Aubrey Ashburn. And, of course, folks can listen to more of her music on aubreyashburn.com. So check that out as well. So first I'll go ahead and give you about a minute, Randy, and then Chris, and then I'll shut things down.
Hey, thanks. Hey, I really have anything to offer. I just got a burning question. You may have answered it sometime in one show or another, but why Aubrey? What's your fascination with her? I like the music. I checked her out, but I'm just kind of curious what drew her to you, that and why you play it every night.
Well, I was a I still am. I don't get to do as much as I used to. I used to be a video game boss. I used to play role-playing game video games. And I've liked her music for years, and she's done a lot of works on video games that I used to play. And so, you know, I really liked the music, and I actually got the opportunity to interview her I think it was August. I got the opportunity to interview her. Great folks. She's the one who actually turned me on to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, because one of the last questions I asked her was there any organization that you know, that she followed or, you know, wanted me to promote. And I looked into it, and I really, you know, like what they're trying to do over there, because I do consider myself an environmentalist and a conservationist. And so, you know, I play the song every night, and, you know, people check it out just because. And for me, that song in particular is real soothing. You know, after you had a long day and then you do a show, it's like you hear the music. And as I said, it's a song that's on one of the video games I used to play. And so that's pretty much why her. And I thought fortune favors the bold. So I put out the interview, and she agreed to do an interview very graciously. And so I'd love to have her back on the show. Hopefully one day I'll be able to do that.
Cool, thanks.
You are welcome.
Cool.
Well, Chris,
you ready?
Go ahead.
Goathead. All right. Well, we covered a little bit of everything, didn't we? Another one of them wild shows where we just kind of threw a couple things together and and kind of scanned the news of the day and just kind of rolled with it, I think it really boils back down to the message. You know, somebody made a comment. I don't remember what it was. It was on a thread earlier as I was getting ready to call in. And they were doing the – I was having that conversation because of the Doug Weed interview. And somebody said, well, Rand Paul is young. He'll get the youth vote. And my response was, Ron Paul was 77 years old, and he got the youth vote. So age isn't the key. The message is the key. And that's not – you know, I'm not trying to endorse any particular person, but that's where the conversation rolled out of. You know, Ron Paul – was able to capture the hearts and minds of people with a liberty message. And his consistency through the years, because he's not a very dynamic speaker. I mean, anybody who knows Ron Paul knows he's not, you know, a great speaker. But his message is powerful, and his consistency on that message is what gives him credibility. And so I have a feeling that, and I know that, you know, the youth of this country are flipping freaked out, you know? I mean, I'm freaked out. Mm-hmm. I'm not young anymore. And so you got to keep an eye on where that youth is going. What is it that they are leaning towards?
They're wondering if the American dream is going to be there for them.
Well, I think they're wondering even more than that. Oh, man. You know, their future's bleak, you know? And so I think that's important, and I think the component that Randy was talking about, and we've all touched on this. In fact, we started with this conversation about that educational component, teaching people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be, you know, the conversation this morning with Randy and Kelly on, you know, the grand jury, or it's state sovereignty, or, you know, my fascination with you know, the Civil War forward that led us to the Fed, the 16th and 17th Amendment, and how that debacle even managed to occur in this country of freedom and liberty. You know, all those different things, because I think that when you get that message out there and you're educating people, just this what I call purity from the heart, I have no hidden agenda. I'm not trying to get you to vote for this guy or do this thing. I just want to educate you, because if you give people the right message and you give it freely and you empower them, they're going to pick the right candidate. They're going to pick the right party. You know, I think that's important to say. The idea is that if I'm adding value to your life and I'm improving your ability to filter, you know, to see the country that you live in from a more correct constitutional perspective, they'll make good decisions.
Well, and that's one of the things we were actually talking about tonight, Chris, before the show. Was doing kind of like educational programs, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
Or shows, and where, you know, kind of like Constitution 101 or State Sovereignty 101, something of that nature, you know, or, you know, multi-party systems, you know, or things of that
yep.
nature, you know, on the show, you know, after the election, to get this information out to the folks is an educational process.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why one of the things that attracts Randy to us is that if you look at his stuff and you go back and listen to some of his past shows, you go to his website and you look at the nature, and he's a teacher. You know, I find that is a common thread there. We have a kindred, you know, spirit, and we all have different personalities, and even Kelly, you know, Kelly wants to be. He wants people to understand. I mean, the guy wrote a book. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He wants people to understand the power that our Constitution, our founding fathers handed us, that has been not necessarily taken from us, but it's been hidden from us. It's all, there you go, the hidden fourth branch. Hello.
You
know,
there you
it's
go.
It's still there. The problem is we don't have the knowledge on how to access it, what our rights and responsibilities are. Because I really think that one thing that tickles people's emotional content is when you talk about the rights that have been stolen from them. That gets their passion. But if you go after them trying to tell them what they need to be doing before you engage that passion, you know what I mean, before you serve them and empower them, then you're back to that political sales job. And I think one of the reasons that the duopoly is losing is not just the $6 billion in negative crap, but I think that people don't trust them anymore, and they just don't know where to go. You know, they don't know what the truth is. When was the last time anybody was ever taught on the founding, on the original intent, the founding of our country? Our founding fathers have been demonized. You know, that old crusty document, it doesn't apply anymore in this multinational, you know, world, globalist world that we live in, multicultural, blah, blah, blah. Like, it wasn't a world back, it was the same earth back
Chris,
then. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Let me add to the conversation that you're talking about here, because not only is it important for us to know what's in there, we also have to know its relevance to our current societal conditions. I think, I don't know, did you know, we talked about it this morning, did you know about the Article 1, Section 9, I think it's Clause 2, that says no bills of attainder. Did you know what bills of attainder were before this morning?
No.
And you know, one of the reasons why it's important to know what that is, because then you understand the specific article and section that the NDAA violates, because the Congress made a law that permits people to taint others and to execute them willy-nilly, and it is absolutely contrary to the Constitution under Article 1, Section 9, that says no bills of attainder. Congress cannot pass a bill of attainder, and that's what that section of the NDA equates to, is becoming a bill of attainder. They're tainting Americans by coloring them and giving people permission to say, hey, I'm a terrorist. Or I'm an extremist, and so now my character has been tainted. Now they can execute me because of the law that was provided in the NDAA, and it's why it's important to understand not only what's in there, not only what it means, but its relevance to our current societal condition that we find ourselves in right now.
You know what? There's a whole show right there on NDAA. When are we going to do it?
NDAA and the Patriot Act.
Well, yeah. we'll definitely have to make a calendar up, because, of course, you know, there's also things that, you know, I'd like to talk about, get accomplished, and folks to interview as well. But at that, gentlemen, the time I must arise tomorrow is going to be upon me faster than I would like. So, everyone have a good night. I hate to cut it off before the 59 minutes is up, but we have tomorrow night. And good night, all. And, of course, I will end tonight the way I end all the shows, and that is with, as Randy has pointed out, Aubrey Ashburn. And enjoy, take care, and good night. Thank you.